Tony, you want to have some trigger control and weigh in on that?
You know, I just figured it's sitting next to me.
And he's got his gun
out. We're at a range, and I can do it, so why not pull it out?
Here's the thing. Supposed to put your finger.
Yeah, don't put your finger on the trigger.
Safety's on, guys. Safety's on. No clipping.
Safety's on.
This is
so many people's last words.
All right, I'm going to put it away.
No, but we should say that is a kind of gun that actually does have a safety. Most 9mm don't have safeties.
How many people
that's a
were their last words, safety's on?
Oh, God.
Had to be over 100, right?
Thousands.
Right. Yeah. So screw you. We're from Texas. Screw you. We're from Texas. Screw you. We're from Texas. But we're from Texas. Screw you. Sing it with me. Screw you. We're from Texas. Screw you. We're from Texas. Screw you. We're from Texas. We're from Texas. Screw you.
Welcome to Ari Shaffir Skeptic Tank Podcast. My name is Ari Shaffir. Say it slowly, Skeptic Tank Podcast. Although you probably already know that if you're watching or listening to it, you gotta already know it. So this one takes place in Austin, Texas. I was there, we did a podcast with our buddies Shan, Marge, and Jue. And the next day, I hung out with my friend Tony Hinchcliffe. Tony Hinchcliffe has a popular live show called Kill Tony. Check him out on YouTube. You're about to get that Skeptic Tank bump, Tony. Of downloads that were only in the hundreds will now be in the hundreds of thousands. Because what? Because of that Skeptic Tank bump. And so we're going to hang out and walk around, do a little walk, and maybe do a podcast. And then our other buddy, Joe Rogan, called and said, hey, you're just still in town? Why don't you come to breakfast with me and Tony? I'm like, oh, me and Tony, we're already going to go for a walk. He goes, let's go to breakfast. It's like, all right, sure. 11:30. What do you want? Let's get an omelet somewhere. And he goes, no, barbecue. Joe Rogan is part man, part wildebeest. So he doesn't eat anything except meat and apples right now. That's legitimately what his diet is. Meat and apples. That's not a joke. That's legitimately what his diet is right now. Meat and apples. What kind of diet is that? I don't know. Anyway, so he called and he's like, have a barbecue. I'm like, it's 11:30, man. I'll meet you for an omelet, though. And he goes, barbecue, barbecue, barbecue. And me and Tony were like, how about chicken? How about meet us in the middle? We just had a bunch of fucking meat the night before. And his response was, barbecue, barbecue, barbecue. And here's how it works. When somebody's paying for it, it's up to them. Also, Joe is a strong-willed person. So the barbecue won out. And we had fucking $187 worth of barbecue at 11:30 in the morning. 11:30 in the morning is comedians, 6:45. So we filled up on Terry Black's barbecue. It was delicious. I ate massive amounts. Joe Rogan did not bring any apples. So all he was able to eat was the barbecue. And then afterwards, like, let's do a podcast. So we went to a local gun range. Dude, fucking Texas is wild. That's all these motherfuckers do. They go shooting at gun ranges, do fucking shows. It's crazy, the scene out there right now. When you're done with the show, you're like, everywhere else, you're like, I'm done. In Texas, in Austin, that Rogan Tony scene, they're just like, hey, we'll send a golf cart for you. And they just take a golf cart and drive you through the streets to whatever bar you want to go to. And then when you're done, they're like, we'll pick you up. We'll pick you up on a golf cart on regular city streets. Just whizzing by homeless people. They're like, what have you done well to live your life? I'm like, I don't know, man. I should be with you. If I caught heroin instead of weed, I'd be right where you are. But I'm not. I caught weed, and my buddy started one of those popular podcasts of all times, and I'm a coat rider. That's right. And I rode that coat right onto that golf cart. It's nuts what they got going out there. So me and Tony and Joe sat in on a podcast from a gun range until we went straight from barbecue to fucking a gun range. I did a podcast. You'll hear it. It was outside, but you can hear it for sure in there. Yeah. So we started doing, because I couldn't really think of a topic. So we started just doing the Patreon. Patreon does mailbag questions. They just add in mailbag questions. So we do like four different ones on Patreon. Patreon.com/Ari Shaffir. General mailbag, sex and relationship advice, travel. Stories and what was the last one? Arrest stories and stuff like that. So people just write in, and then I'll just riff off it with a guest. Sometimes by myself, it's fun. Get on there, $5 a month or more. So anyway, we did that. We just hung out. Rogan had to leave, but the rest of us, me and Tony, hung out, and it got fucking great. Told old stories about the conversation. Well, you'll see it right now. Hi, everybody. Today's episode of Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank Podcast is brought to you by 3Chi. 3Chi is the leader in Delta-8 THC products. That's right. The number 3CHI.com. If you go to 3Chi right now, use promo code Ari at checkout, you get 5% off your order. If you don't know what 3Chi is, it's Delta-8. Delta-8 is like a legal version of THC. And I take the gummies, and I fucking like them. Gives you an amazing buzz. And oh, yeah, it's not CBD. Don't take it thinking it's CBD. It's weird. It's kind of like THC, but it's different. So it's like a regular edible gets you high in the head and like sometimes the fingertips. 3Chi just kind of like the Delta-8 stuff spreads it around. So it's like 60% of your normal high, but it goes everywhere in your body. It's strange, but it's fun. And I guess it's just fully legal. That's crazy. Federally legal. So you got to be 21 or older to purchase it because, like it says, it will get you fucked up. That's why they come to me with a weekly sponsorship. Because I accept and promote people getting fucked up. Ari Shaffir, live irresponsibly. 3Chi.com, you're about to get that skeptic tank bump. They got vapes, gummies, tinctures, and oils that can be used to make homemade edibles. Hey, 3Chi.com, the guys who work there. Is there any statistics at how many of my listeners have the wherewithal to get the oils and actually make homemade edibles? I feel like my podcast listeners are very lazy. So, sure, the vapes and gummies and tinctures, but I just can't imagine them making homemade edibles. Maybe I'm wrong. If that's who you're into, fucking fine. But for sure, get those fucking gummies. I like those. And if you have the fucking get up and go, use the others, you know. Anyway, thank you, 3Chi.com. Remember, it's not CBD. It's going to fucking fuck you up. Use promo code Ari at checkout and get 5% off your order. Now back to the episode. Thank you, drugs, for again sponsoring my degenerate lifestyle. I'm glad I got out of Texas, too, because the Cowboys, the Dallas Cowboys, just showed themselves to be a fucking tard team. They fucking suck, dude. Dak Prescott is mediocre. He's a mediocre comic. All his stats go up in the fucking fourth quarter. Tell me I'm wrong. All right, let's do some dates real quick, and let's start the episode. Why even delay this? February 8th, I'm doing a storyteller show at the Gramercy, New York City. New York City, February 8th, the Gramercy Theater. Tickets are on sale now at arishaffir.com. February 8th, I'm not going to tell you the lineup. I'm going to tell you it's already fucking great. Surprise lineups. One show only, February 8th. Get tickets right now at arishaffir.com. March 6th in Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City, we're adding a 3:30 p.m. show. Me, Norman, Renazisi, O'Neill. This is the third show. There won't be any more. So hurry up. Get those tickets. The last big show is me, Rick Kelly, and Big J Okerson in Michigan, where we went. Dude, I was in Cleveland. I got snowed in. So it started snowing heavy, and Sal and Gary Veeder were there. I was there with Adrian. And they're like, dude, our flights are not going to get out tomorrow. So we're like, what are we going to do? I had to get home. I had to upload this podcast, you know, do some more yoga with Ari's. On YouTube now, and he goes, Veeder had the idea, let's drive to Detroit. So he rented a car, drove to Detroit, and took a fucking plane from Detroit. I'm lucky we did, because our flights in Cleveland snowed for 14 straight hours. Our flights in Cleveland, Sal's was delayed 45 minutes, and me and Adrian's flight delayed for 4 minutes. Thank God we drove 3.5 hours in the snow to Detroit to avoid that debacle. So anyway, in Detroit is where I'll be with Big J Okerson and Bobby Kelly on March 26th. March 25th at Grand Rapids. Tickets are available at arishaffir.com. It's all three of us. March 25th, Grand Rapids. March 26th, Detroit. The boys, two Jews, two fats. Take Michigan. And then I got Phoenix, January 20th, this weekend, January 20th, 21st, 22nd, Tampa, February 11th and 12th, and Denver, February 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th. Those shows will be with Adrian Appalucci. Jamar Neighbors is coming with me to Phoenix. Steve Simone to Tampa. Surprise lineup for the Gramercy February 8th. It's half sold out. Hurry up. And Denver is already like Saturday sold out. Hurry up is my point. Go to rashaffir.com for tickets. Also arishaffir.com for tickets is where you can find like the YouTube version of this show and all the music choices and links for their socials and shit like that. Oh, fuck. And I forgot Vancouver. I forgot Vancouver, February 27th. I'm at the Vogue Theater in Vancouver, February 27th. And I'm doing a yoga, a live yoga on February 27th in Vancouver. It'll be at the JFL Northwest or JFL Vancouver, whatever they call it, website when it happens. But I'm doing a live yoga Sunday day and then my own show Sunday night. So get tickets, arishafir.com. Got to go to Vancouver. Maybe I'll go to Whistler afterwards for a couple days. Go skiing. Anyway, thank you very much. If anybody has any hookups for ski stuff in Park City, equipment, hit me up on Instagram.com/RIP Ari Shafir. That's the end of the insert. All right, let's just start the fucking episode. Ladies and gentlemen, today's episode of Ari Shafir's Skeptic Thinking Podcast is brought to you by Canceled Comedians. Canceled comedians in both Los Angeles and New York are paving the way for young comics to get spots. Without canceled comedians, there'd be no room for young comics to develop. So thank you, canceled comedians, for moving out of the way and allowing young comics a spot to shine. This episode of Ari Shafir's Skeptic Tank is again brought to you by the kind donations and rape accusations about canceled comedians. Let's start. Live from a gun range in Austin, Texas. I don't know the name of it. Ari Shafir Skeptic, episode 455, the most Texas podcast of all time, straight from fucking barbecue to a gun range with Tony Hinchcliffe and Joe Rogan. Starts now.
The stars at night are big and bright, deep in the heart of Texas. The prairie sky is wide and high, deep in the heart of Texas. The coyotes wail along the trail, deep in the heart of Texas. The rabbits rush around the brush, deep in the heart of Texas.
Well, we're off. Welcome to the most Texas podcast of all time.
Yay.
We're at a gun range smoking cigars.
After eating barbecue.
After eating Terry Black's barbecue. Oh, you should have seen those homeless guys' face light up.
Oh, really?
I gave them $135 worth of barbecue.
That was nice.
I mean, I was like, hey, do you guys, it's like they're kind of zombies, you know? And like, you guys want some food? Like, what is it? I was like, it's like barbecue. They're like, wait, what? And they all start coming over. I'm like, this fork's in there. Split it up. They're like, oh.
Oh, that's cool of you. That's very cool.
You paid for it.
Yeah. It's cool of you to give away something that somebody else paid for.
Yeah, but it's still cool. You put out an effort to go give it to those folks. Yeah. I think it's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks. So here's how I do some of these, just so you know. We can talk, shoot the shit all you want, but I do these mailbag things. So here are the four possible topics. Just general.
How many iPhones do you own?
Four.
These are filmed. Yeah. People don't know. These are all being filmed with iPhones.
That new one's Tony's. That's way more high tech than my normal good one. And then that's my normal okay one.
Oh, you're using yours too, Tony?
Mm, he's using mine.
Yeah. Because I got to get on this.
Nice.
Yes, thanks for that.
Nice.
So that he could go through his mailbag.
Yeah, so do you want to do general mailbag, arrest stories? We're just shooting the shit on people's, like, dumb, whatever. Like, one of them was, like, I sold weed out of a Wendy's drive-thru, and it's just, like, fucking around on it. Arrest stories, general mailbag, sex, relationship shit, or travel stories.
I guess we start off with general mailbag.
Yeah.
And if it sucks.
We can always switch.
You work your way to
sex.
We're
not bound by any of this. How long have you guys been shooting guns, by the way?
Me? I bought my first gun in 94.
Yeah.
And I didn't really shoot much. I just kind of had it at the house. I really didn't start shooting seriously until I started hunting. That was 2012. That was rifles a lot.
Yeah.
And then I really didn't start shooting guns until, I guess, 3 years ago. Ish.
That's when you start going to that tactical
Terran place. Tactical, yeah.
That looks like the most fun. You've done it?
It's very fun.
No, not yet. I'm excited to try.
It looks bad. That's what you want, like moving targets. Yeah. Where it's not just like, and this is cool, but like some action.
Yeah, you move. The targets don't move, but there are some targets that you can spin and knock them around, knock them down and stuff.
Have you got, remember the Police Academy when they had to like shoot all the stuff? And then like,
oh, you accidentally shoot a good guy.
What's the guy's name? Was like killing all the good people too.
Right.
He was like, yeah, what was it? What was his name?
Hightower?
Hightower, maybe. No, Hightower was the black dude.
Yeah.
That'd rip out the front seat so he could fit in, drive from the back seat. Oh, those movies are underrated. Maybe they're terrible. Yeah, but I want to get one of those. Like, boom, boom. One with the baby? Nope.
And yeah. Like, they have them where there's simulations. There's a video one that you do that's really cool. You don't shoot a real gun, but it feels like a real gun. It weighs what a real gun weighs. That's a cannon somebody has downstairs. Yeah. Yeah.
That's through double bulletproof glasses, like soundproof.
But that's downstairs, too. Yeah.
Damn.
That one's downstairs, yeah. That's the. They have a rifle range, a 100-yard rifle range down there.
Damn.
Sometimes we're in this thing and, like, you know, there's a lot of loud bangs. You have the headphones on and everything. And then it's so blatant. Someone brings out a fucking
cannon.
Someone had a Mossberg shotgun last time. It's a heavy duty shotgun.
Sometimes you'll be shooting a gun and a noise will happen so loud where, like, you jump and you're used to the sound of guns. So imagine how loud it has to be.
It's quite loud.
There's a real sound that a gun makes over. Like, sometimes you're like, is that fireworks? And sometimes you're like, it for sure was not.
Right.
Especially in my neighborhood where you might hear both.
Right.
You might hear like
you might,
over.
Right?
The only way to tell is when the
last
cops...
time I was in New York, we heard gunfire.
Really?
Yeah, we heard gunfire late at night. It was probably like 3 a.m. We're getting shawarma. Oh. And we heard bang, bang, bang. I was like, that is a fucking gun, kids.
Here's a good question. If you're a fan of a comedian, this would be good for you guys. Maddie from Boston. Does it make sense to see them multiple times on the same tour? Like, how different are the shows, are the jokes show to show? Is there maybe a distance between shows where it might make sense to see a comedian again? We're kind of just talking about this a little bit.
Yeah, well, generally speaking, most comics have the same material that they'll do if you see them over, you know, the course of like a couple weeks or a month or so.
Yeah.
Unless something happens in the news and they write some new shit, or unless they're working out multiple sets at the same time. Most of the time, you're honing. So we've gotten into this process as comics where every X amount of years, whether it's two or, you know, Louis C.K. in his prime was doing one. He's still in his prime.
Damn.
He's still in his prime. Yeah, his new special is excellent. But when he was at the top of his popularity, he was doing one a year, which is kind of a little too much.
2014, 2015, it was crazy.
Yeah. I think Carlin did that too, but I think every schedule. 2 years seems to me to be a good schedule for me, although I feel more prepared now because I had like a whole year off from the pandemic.
Yeah.
So I might push it in the future to like 2.5 years. But generally
more
speaking, the point is like what we do is we get ready for a special, we piece together a set, and then we work on that material to hone it to a razor's edge.
Yeah, I would say don't come back the same fucking weekend. Unless you're a real fan and want to see that shit again.
Yeah. And there's a lot of those people at Vulcan. We have a lot of that.
Okay, but this is what we were saying today. Sit in the back. We can see you up there. I saw you yesterday.
Right.
At any of the things, I'm like, this will surprise you. I know it's not going to surprise you. I'm staring at you the whole time. You can sit up front once.
Yeah.
And then the back.
Right.
Agreed?
Yeah. 100%.
New rule comedy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's not that many people that come more than once. But if you're a comedy enthusiast and you want to see, like, maybe this show will be different. Maybe, like, I remember seeing Hicks multiple times when he was in Boston.
Yeah.
And I saw some shows where he killed, and I saw one show where he bombed, and I, you know, I saw different versions of the bits.
Yeah.
You get to see, you know, we all know like our pacing and timing is different on different days, you know?
I heard a story about Brian Regan. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
That somebody at the DC Improv was like, he was signing, you know, selling t-shirts or just meet and greet after in between shows, first and second show. And they're like, hey, we're big fans of this couple. We're big fans. We saw you. We're actually going to go into the next show, too, because we're such big fans. He was like, oh. And he just did a different hour.
Wow.
Just on the fly like that. He was like, sweet.
That's crazy that he can do that. But I told you the Jenny story, right?
Richard Jenny?
When we were kids, well, I was like 21 or whatever. I was 23 or 24. And he was headlining at the East Side Comedy Club on Long Island. And the comics were like devastated because... He was so much better than everybody. They all felt like they wanted to quit because they were sitting in the lobby. And I remember this guy, Pete, who was the host, said he did a different hour, all four shows. Did a different hour because he was the host. So he did a different hour Friday, a different headlining hour Saturday, two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, two different shows Friday. two completely different shows because he's got that much material.
But yeah,
he's an animal. Yeah. Richard Jenny, when he was alive, was so fucking good. He was so good.
Yeah, one of the cleanest suicides.
No,
cut himself in the tub.
No, he shot himself.
Oh really?
He shot himself, and he didn't kill himself. He's still alive, and then they had to take him to the hospital.
What?
Yeah. He died in the hospital.
Ugh. He shit himself in the head or this?
Yes.
Jesus.
Yes.
What a terrible shot.
Yeah, and we're at the range.
Yeah.
Someone should tell him better.
He should have used.
Got to know where to shoot.
What were you going to say, Tony?
I can't remember, that's crazy. Was he in the tub? Is that part right?
He was in the tub, I
believe he's in the tub.
And he canceled all his gigs.
Yeah. Which is crazy. Wow. Yeah, when a comic cancels all their gigs, you might want to check in on them.
Yeah.
That's not a great sign.
Not a good sign.
Yeah. Who would you rather fuck? Your high school crush then or your celebrity crush now?
Well, that's easy.
What?
It's celebrity crush now.
Who is it? Yanana Jandjandek?
I don't even have... I'm not sure who the number one is, but I would definitely do that.
Well, high school, you'd have to be a pedophile, you fucking sick.
No, you go back to then. You get to fuck her with your 16-year-old body.
Yeah, but your 16-year-old body.
Going back to then, I thought you meant...
fucking grown-ass man brain? That's creepy.
Yeah,
you imagine if you had a 16-year-old body and a grown-ass man brain? I think you're still a pedophile.
They said this is the problem with Twilight. They're like, that's not a 16-year-old in high school.
He's
a
1,000.
That's a 300-year-old man.
Yeah.
You're a
exactly.
moron to him. You can't
he's
possibly challenge
a
him.
Kid. He's, like, he's banging a kid. He's banging a kid, and he's a fucking old-ass man.
They take that out of the equation. Of course he's going to score.
Bro, that whole
with
thing...
the best seven in the
that whole
of
thing
city.
Of girls and vampires is so weird. It's so weird.
I love it.
It's like, he'll
horses.
Kill everybody else, but he won't kill me. Mm-hmm. That's why girls like hook up with serial killers. It's kind of the same thing. There's like some weird attraction they have to evil, the killers.
Because it's like, but they're like stylish evil.
Mm.
The cape.
Yeah, the cape. I don't think the Twilight guys had a cape. He went to high school. A fucking loser. Remember that? He had to pretend he was in high school?
Why?
Like, come
on. So the town wouldn't be bothered by him? He could just say like, no, I look young.
I can't get into it. I never watched the Twilight. I can't even start it. I'm loyal to the soil. Bram Stoker, Gary Oldman. That's my fucking vampire.
Loyal to the soil? Is that what you just said?
Yep.
Did you see that? Hear that in a rap video or something?
Yeah.
Is that like a Freddie Gibbs line?
Yeah, I'm trying to be cool, Joe. Don't ruin it for me, dude.
Loyal to the soil. I'm a big Gary Oldman fan too. He was the best.
Oh my God, I went down a rabbit hole the other day, dude. I went down. You have to do this.
What?
Gary, there's a fuck. There's a. Hey, I wish I knew the exact title to it. There's a YouTube video, Gary, the best of Gary Oldman or whatever, where it's like 17 minutes long, and every 20 seconds it shows you him as a different. Famous movie role, the guy on the couch in True Romance, the guy. Oh
True
my
Romance
God.
True Romance was the most out there.
Well, like, it's what? Not. When you watch this video, you realize True Romance is like his 20th or 30th best ever. It's crazy. He's all these different things.
So
he's
good.
Winston Churchill. He's fucking this guy. He's that guy. And every single one of them, he almost never looks like Gary Oldman. I mean, this is a guy that fucking morphs into a character completely. He's not worried about him looking like himself to get the fame.
Exactly.
He's a real artist.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's one of the few. I shit on actors, but there's a few that are like, no, you're good at what you do.
Mm-hmm.
The True Romance one, I was like, I've told people, like, do you like Gary Oldman in that? Like,
right.
He wasn't in that.
Yeah, they have no idea.
Just this, like, white dreadlock piece of shit.
Yep.
Drug dealer.
One eye.
Good one, too.
Great. Glass eye. Yeah, one eye. Fucked up eye.
Eating Chinese food.
Yeah.
Want to hear Chappelle's story?
Sure.
This is interesting. Listening to the intro of episode 437 with Eleanor, I have a Dave Chappelle Africa story. In 2008, interrupt me anytime. In 2008, I did a study abroad program called Semester at Sea. I was eating dinner in a restaurant along the port in Cape Town, and no joke, saw Dave Chappelle walking the waterfront of Cape Town, South Africa, smoking a cigarette. Story checks out so far. I let my boyfriend at the time stay at the restaurant to pay for dinner and ran down to say hello. Probably kind of rude of me. Now in retrospect, but I was 20, so sorry. By the time I got down there, a small group had begun to form. He was walking near where a ship was hosting 350 American kids was docked. Talked to a group of 10 of us for about 10 minutes, declined any picture opportunities, and was super cool. He found it entertaining a bunch of white college kids were on a ship taking the reverse route of enslaved Africans. You guys are going backwards. He's not wrong. All in all, very cool experience. Smartphones weren't a thing, so got to keep this story to myself and share it every now and again.
That's cool.
Yeah. Later that night, I proceeded to vomit up and diarrhea up the dinner I had.
Aw, that's sad.
Isn't that fun, though? Before cell phones and shit, you just have the experience, and now you have a story that you can bring out. Way more fun when it's time.
I don't know about that. I think it's all fun. The only problem with the phones is it's intrusive.
It's intrusive.
Because people aren't necessarily living in the moment there very much, and they just want to get a picture for their Facebook. And
how do we look?
Like the guy who came over to the table today while we're eating. You know, those guys, it happens too often. Like, you're in the middle of food, you're in the middle of a conversation, they want to take a photo. But on the other hand, you have so much more access to information, you have so much more access to cool shit that you could find out, and cool videos that people send you, and memes, as far as the amount of funny in your life. I have funny memes sent to me every day.
Memes are maybe the best thing on the internet.
The number one problem.
You don't need to have it on you all the time, though, to get those.
Yeah, that's true. But you'll miss some, like, because they flow like water. You know, you got to be there where the salmon come downstream.
I was in a meme group for a while, and the rule was
a meme group.
A meme group. Yeah, you don't make them. You just post them. The rule was nothing but memes, and you can just like or not like. If you say a word, you're kicked out of the group. If you're like, check this one out, you're out of the group. The meme speaks for itself. And
that's interesting.
And it disbanded after George Floyd got killed.
Oh.
People are like, the sensitivity levels are wildly different in here.
Right.
Yeah.
And it just
and the virtue signal levels. That's a weird one, right? Like, if you think about what that guy did, like, how many times is a person murdered where it becomes literally a tipping point for an entire civilization, not just in America, but all over the world, right? There's George Floyd protests in fucking the Netherlands, right? But then when you find out who he was as a person, you're like, wow, this guy he did bad things. Like, he held a gun to a pregnant woman's stomach, apparently. Has that been verified?
Yep.
I never know what that shit.
You never know.
And also, none of it, like, excuses any.
No, not for the cops. But the thing is, like, when they make statues of him and stuff like that, it's like,
I remember Fruitvale Station?
What's that?
Fruitvale Station was about a guy who got killed in Fruitvale.
OCD about this mic cord.
Yeah, I hear you. Fruitvale, San Francisco, Oakland.
I don't remember that.
Killed. The guy said he was reaching for a taser and he reached for his gun instead.
Oh, I do remember
that. But to show the story of him, they said he was a weed dealer, which is fine, especially in California.
Right.
And he's like, I'm out of the game. I don't want to do this anymore. He just gave all his weed to the last guy buying from him. He's like, you can have it all. Because they couldn't make him, like, it's that thing of, like, he has to be a pure, innocent person.
He has to be a hero.
In order to be killed wrong.
Yeah, no weed dealer's like, I'm out of the game.
Yeah, that's all my crazy. Weed. I'll sell off my stock, but I'm not.
That's like a superhero origin story. That's like when Uncle Ben got killed because Spider-Man didn't stop the bad guy.
Yeah, it's like, exactly. You gave away all your weed.
Get the fuck out of here, bitch.
That's just bad business.
It's silly. Nobody does that. You sell your weed, and then you stop selling it. You know, especially when you're just selling weed. I mean, weed in California is a fucking misdemeanor, even if it's illegal. You know, if you're selling weed without a license, that's one of the reasons why the cartel moved into California. It's because you could grow in public land, these massive chunks of land, and you don't really get in trouble. Like, it's a misdemeanor. It's a small fine if you get caught growing weed. There's a guy named John Norris who's on my podcast who started
Joe Rogan
off.
Experience podcast. My guest has a podcast of his own.
You might have heard of it. Experience podcast. It's he's on. He's a game warden, and he started off his career just like, you know, checking your fishing license, that kind of stuff, like they normally do. And then along the way, he started finding these diverted streams where the stream had dried up. And then, so they had to follow the stream and thought maybe like a farmer was illegally moving the stream, or there was maybe some blockage, something happened. But what he found was a grow op. And then it was run by the cartel, and they had these like toxic chemicals they were using for pesticides that if you smoked the weed, you'd get sick as fuck. And that was a lot of their weed. And so this guy goes deep into it, and he finds out that there's this huge movement of cartel guys growing weed on public land. And then him going from being a game warden, he becomes basically like a fucking tactical operator who's wearing bulletproof vests, and they got dogs, and they're going into these places and having shootouts with the cartel.
What?
It become one of some other guys died
on American soil.
Dogs got shot. Yes, in the fucking public land. It became super dangerous. He wrote a book, if you're interested. It's called Hidden Wars. It's very good.
Tony, you want to have some trigger control and weigh in on that?
You know, I just figured it's sitting next to me.
And he's got his gun
we're out. At a range, and I can do it, so why not pull it out?
Here's the thing. You're not supposed to put your finger.
Yeah, don't put your finger on the trigger.
Safety's on, guys. Safety's on. No clipping.
Safety's on. Is,
well, this is
so many people's last words.
All right, I'm going to put it away. I'm going to put it away.
No, but we should say that is a kind of gun that actually does have a safety. Most 9mm don't have safeties.
How many people that's a 211. Were their last words, safety's on?
Oh, God.
Right. Be over 100, right?
Thousands. Right. Thousands. Thousands. I heard a horrible story about two kids fighting. Two brothers are fighting, and one brother goes into his dad's drawer and pulls out a gun. And he just says, if you don't do whatever he was trying to get him to do, you don't do that, I'm going to shoot you.
No.
And the brother's like, fuck you, and shoot him right in the face. He didn't know that there was one in the chamber.
Oh, God.
He just thought he was going to scare him, and he blew his brother's face off. Life. Oh, my God. I mean, who are you now? Who are you now? You're five, and you kill your brother?
I love how they all jumped on Baldwin for shooting that person's like handling it wrong. Like, you shouldn't have tweeted like this. They're like, dude, you shot someone he knew fucking 2 feet away from him. Cut him some slack. I'm sorry he's not reacting the way you want him to.
Well,
the Baldwin thing, which what's weird is his conversation with that guy on ABC afterwards, Stephanopoulos.
Yeah.
Because it's like, why did he do that? You're supposed, like,
because he's an actor too. He's flailing. He's like emotionally distraught. And I'm sure his lawyer's like, don't say this. Don't say this. Now you're thinking, what am I allowed to say?
He has a team full of, does things differently. You know, these people, it's not like comedians or anything. The guy like that has a squadron of advisors who are like, oh my goodness. You know, the one thing that really stood out to me.
Yeah.
It was that picture of him hunched over in the desert where it happened, and it shows him mourning, obviously crying the day of or whatever. Yeah. And it's like, oh, everyone that sees that's going to feel bad for him, right? And that is without a doubt, without a doubt.
A posed picture?
Without a doubt.
Wow.
Of course they're not going to let let anybody there with a camera when he's around on a closed film set of Hibs. He's an executive producer.
You think he's like,
it's the professional photographer of the film. We know that that's there. We know that they do that.
I like it. Do you think he said, snap the special
without
goes, hey, take a picture of him. We'll need this.
Could be either
that's
one.
A good question. But either way,
he's an actor. He could definitely cry if he needed to.
Without a doubt.
Has he ever cried in a movie?
That's
a hard one. Siri just popped up, that bitch.
Ask her.
She's always ready.
Has James Baldwin? No, not James.
Alec Baldwin.
Hey, Siri.
Who the fuck's James Baldwin?
The writers. What is that? The actor studio?
That's James Lipton. That's
James Baldwin wrote Beale Street. I could talk. Hey,
Siri. Who's James Baldwin? He's a writer.
Has Alec Baldwin ever cried in a movie?
He has, for sure.
Hans noticed something strange about Alec Baldwin's tears during that. Alec Baldwin cries and says he didn't pull the trigger. Why was Alec Baldwin really crying? It's not going to tell you. Not now.
But, you know, there's nobody sneaking onto that set taking a picture of him.
Right. Especially after that.
Right.
Shut it down.
Yeah.
Right.
Who the fuck is James Baldwin?
James Baldwin's a writer. He wrote If Beale Street Could Talk.
James Baldwin.
There is no James Baldwin.
Crazy.
Who wrote?
American Novelist. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it's this guy. Oh, Jesus Christ. He was a gay intellectual in the 60s that was he's a brilliant guy. He's got a great documentary about him.
Gay black intellectual. I mean, on the cusp of being accepted in
this
like,
guy.
Many ways.
Remember him? Yeah.
I mean, but I read his books.
Oh, college. Wow.
He's got some amazing interviews on YouTube where you can you can watch him. I mean, just
you know who I'm starting to get more respect for? Sorry.
It's okay.
Is who was the fat guy from who got fat and got his own island?
Got fat and got his own island. I don't know, but that sounds good already. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Marlon Brando.
And everyone made fun of him. I remember when I was little. That was the late night joke. He got fat and he's on an island. It's just so we could eat away. And then I've seen him in some interviews lately. Some black and white, like back then interviews.
Oh, he's brilliant.
And it's almost like, oh, you took a lot of mushrooms and you've given up on the system. So you're not trying to play the game anymore.
I think he made a ton of money, and he probably didn't have to do anything else.
I was in Tahiti, and so they had this like mural for him and some of his quotes. And he goes, "You know, I thought I could change these people with my money, and then I realized like they didn't need it at all. Like it was, I needed their help."
Right.
And I think he just got happy. Like, what is this whole life? Why do I care about actors?
Right.
He didn't even accept his Oscar.
Yeah.
He just goes to like a Native American lady. He's like, "You'll go get it."
You know, when they did Apocalypse Now, the reason why they filmed him in the dark like that is because he got so fat.
And he showed up for 3 days only. You ever see that documentary on Apocalypse Now, the making of? It's great. And how the guy had to bankroll it himself pretty much because no one would like, he had to borrow planes from the fucking Philippines and then they needed it for the war. So he's like, "What?"
I don't think I've ever seen this movie.
You've never seen Apocalypse Now?
Yeah, I don't think I have.
Oh my God. I'm wearing my Apocalypse Now watch again. That's the Captain Willard. This is the watch that Martin Sheen wore.
Wow.
The model, really? Not the original watch, but that right. Martin Sheen wore in Apocalypse Now.
Huh.
That's why I got it, because it's fucking dope.
Yeah, but they're like,
that was just like, amazing.
What are you working on? I was like, what is anyone working on? What does that even mean? And the guy's like, what? Who is this guy?
What is like, anyone working on?
Yeah.
Well, he was so good, man. If you go back and watch some of his films, I mean, The Godfather. Go yeah. back and watch. Just watch Streetcar Named Desire. Pat, watch the old stuff.
Is that him?
No, wasn't him?
George C. Scott.
No, what is he in? The one with who plays a boxer? I could have been a contender.
Uh huh.
What was that? That's On the Waterfront. Yeah, that's it. I mean, that movie. A lot of people think changed the way actors act in movies because that was back in the day when everybody acted fake. Because they acted like they acted in Broadway, where you have to make everything big because they didn't have microphones.
Oh, right.
So they had to play to the back of the house. So everything they did, everything was big. And so he came along and acted real. And
like, what the
fuck? I watched King Kong once with my kids, and they were real nervous because they were real little at the time. I go, no, this is funny. I'm telling you, we're going to watch the old King Kong. Yeah. And they're like, why does everybody act like that? I go, don't you know? So like my kids, who at the time, I think like 6 and 4 or something like that.
They were like,
we're realizing how goofy people are acting.
Why is this guy overacting?
Like, what are you doing?
Where's the director? What are these choices?
Grover is a better actor than you.
Grover. Do you know that there's now an Asian Muppet? And people are like, do you not understand that the Muppets were animals?
Yeah.
They were no humans.
Race. They had no race.
That was the whole point.
The green one? What race is that?
What is Oscar the Grouch? Uh-huh. What the fuck is Kermit? Oh, he's a frog. But
he's pretty clearly a frog.
But I mean, what is Bert, rather? What's Bert and Ernie?
What Ernie?
Fuck are they?
Gays, they said a lot, right?
Oh,
they got a big gay. Probably. Thing on
guys, them. You know what this Asian Muppet's name is? I think I dealt with them this year.
Stupid. But the idea that they thought that was a good idea to bring a Asian Muppet.
It's just like, and also like, do you not know how much ammunition you're giving the racist to see Asian eyes on a fucking sock?
Right.
Like how
it's a little more complicated than a sock.
I don't know, whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah, they're like puppets.
Yeah, I'm minimizing it for comedic.
Sesame Street. Interesting shit, right?
Yeah.
Why do we humanize animals so much for kids? That part's weird.
Oh, it's real
lions
weird.
Are cute.
Forever.
It's always the dangerous ones too, like bears.
You gotta make
teddy bears.
Hello.
Yeah.
Imagine if Big Bird was real, like how frightened everybody would be.
Yeah.
They had a great Sprite commercial. It went back and was like, "Keep it real with Sprite," and it was like an old like 70s commercial style. And a mom's going, "Hi kids, you ready for breakfast?" And then this cartoon son comes in and goes, "Don't forget the goodness of orange juice." And they're all like, "What the fuck is that? Get out of here." And the mom falls. She's like, "Kids, run." And he's like, "I just want to say hi."
I remember that.
Like, what would really
that,
go on?
That really is hilarious.
I booked a commercial one time because they said, like, someone's coming out with a Pizone and he's going to offer it to your like stocking shelves or something like that. And they're like, "All right, so take this Pizone and pretend like you like it." And they go, "Now do a real one." And I'm like, like, "Hey, do you want a Pizone?" I'm like, "Hey, dude, we're working. Get the fuck out of here." Like, you can't be in here doing that.
What's a Pizone?
It's like a calzone pizza.
Oh.
And then the guy I left with, he goes, "Hey, thanks for ruining it for both of us." And then he watched me in that commercial. If you could give your teenage self some specific advice, this would be good. What would it be? teenage, it's up to you, 13 to 19.
There's a part of me that immediately, my gut tells me to enjoy life and do, you know what I mean, and that's breathe it in. But the other, as soon as I thought that, I'm like, no, 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 no. If I told myself that, I wouldn't have worked at all. I wouldn't have had the crazy work ethic. So
good point.
Immediately I'm like, work your ass off and then have fun. So I don't know.
I would say, hey, chicks also want to fuck, just so you know.
But
No, I thought it was like doing something bad to them. Or
that
something.
Is. That's
oh, that's hilarious.
Like, yeah. Religion still in.
Oh, the religion stuff, of course.
Yeah.
And also, yeah, it feels like because you're only talking with boys about it, it feels like something that we want to do. It does. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Yeah, right. And it's like they couldn't because you're like.
Meanwhile, they're talking about what we didn't realize is they were talking about what they wanted to do to boys.
Why are there no cucumbers in this house left?
Yeah.
Right.
Bah, 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 bah.
I think I would also say, hey, if you ever hear anything, just the words bit and coin, put it all in. The first moment you hear about
oh my God.
It, put it all
oh,
in.
Wow.
You imagine. Probably have like $5,000 saved up.
Oh.
Put it all in.
Imagine you had $5,000 worth of Bitcoin in like, what was the first year?
Like 2004 or something. Who knows?
My God, it was probably worth people a penny.
Mm-hmm.
You would be worth $1 billion.
God damn it.
Wow. Did we talk about that guy yesterday that's been combing the landfill for 8 years?
For leftover Bitcoin?
Yeah, he's got $500 million worth of Bitcoin and a hard drive that he accidentally threw away. And so for
treasure hunting.
For 8 years, they've been combing this landfill, trying to find this hard drive.
How much?
$500 million.
Oh, wow. So
for 8 years, he's had people combing the landfill.
Has he gotten it?
No.
How much has he spent? Do we know?
Who knows? Millions, I'm sure.
What a budget.
For 8 years.
I'll spend $4 million on this if I find it.
But here's the thing. It's like, if he gets it, who knows if it's not degraded?
Right.
Moisture from the rain and all the bullshit and coming through all the chemicals that are going through the soil. You've got heaps and heaps and heaps of rotting bullshit on top of your.
It's the only thing I never got behind on Bitcoin and all those things, which like it can just go away if you don't care for it. Right.
Yeah. But so could
you have a flood
paper, you know, you could, you know, you have a fire, you have $1 million
or something or like.
But what if you have it in your house?
Right. Yeah. I wish I understood Bitcoin.
It's interesting. I understand it way better than I understand NFTs. NFTs, I'm still like...
It's not the same thing just selling on the idea of popularity? I don't even know
it's confusing.
I don't get it.
I don't get it at all.
I'm a guy who doesn't invest. I'm just like, listen, I'm happy with what I have saved up. I don't want to be thinking about stocks and shit.
Right.
That's good.
Under the mattress is fine for me.
Yeah.
Oh, you told everybody where your money is.
Oh, no.
Fucked up,
it definitely
son.
Wasn't a metaphor for the bank.
You fucked up, son.
Yeah, it's weird. I've made friends with all these like wild, cool Texas billionaires like out on the golf course and stuff. And they're always like, so how are you maximizing your profits in your industry? And I'm like, what? What are you talking about?
How are you trying to maximize your, huh?
I like get a cut of the tickets.
Dude, I'm thinking
show.
Of a funny way to describe my penis. We're on different wavelengths.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
You only have so much bandwidth. This is something to take into consideration. You should probably tell this to your teenage self, too.
Okay.
If you want to give yourself advice. Yeah. You only have so much time in the day. And if you could just be objective about the amount of time that's useless, like worrying about what other people think about you or worrying about what they're doing or diminishing what they're doing, being jealous or petty, it's an instinct. It's a natural instinct that humans and even chimps have. You have to recognize what that is. You're never going to be pure of it. You're never going to cleanse yourself of it entirely. But you could do well to know that that's a thing that you keep in your head. And if you can push it aside and actively realize what you're doing, why you're doing it, and spend less time on it, whatever less time you spend doing nonsense and stupid shit and wasteful things, especially like petty things, you'll have more bandwidth for the other things that you really should be doing, like working on your career.
That's solid advice. Like, why are you worried about them?
Exactly.
And then also, actually ask that question. Why are you worried about them? It's because you're probably not accomplishing what you want. So you're like, let me take them down.
And the reason why I can say this too is because like at scale, when you get popular enough where you could spend your whole day wondering about other people's opinions of you, and you can go search them out, and you will literally go insane. And we know people who've done that. They've uh-huh. literally gone mad just searching through their comments and reading their comments and doing Google searches on themselves and finding out what people say about them.
Yeah.
Be
like, what the fuck?
You'll go crazy, and it's not good for you. It's like you don't have any time for that. Your time is precious. It's very precious.
Yeah.
You know, we were just talking the other day, me and Bruce, and we were saying, you know, he was talking about his grandfather, a conversation that he had with his grandfather once, that his grandfather still thinks like he thought when he was 25. He, like, I still feel like the same person.
Yeah.
He goes, but I'm like this whole fucking bag of bones now. Like he goes, I still have a brain like a young guy. Yeah. I think of myself as I did when I was 25, but I'm not 25 anymore. I'm like this fucking wretched old man. So he goes, when I see a hot chick, I still think she's a hot chick, but she looks at me like, ew, this gross dead man. And then I realize, oh my God, that's only 20 years from now for me.
Wow.
That's nothing. 20 years from now, I'm 74 years old.
Don't get worried about what people think, too.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's not very long.
That's how little time you have.
You got young. Fucking, you're like Jack LaLanne or something though, dude. You have like those energies. He's going to like
you
look
a
like
one
that.
Strap bathing suit.
Old school.
You got Jack LaLanne energies, bro.
Well,
what's your heavy bags collection like?
I have three heavy bags.
You're going to be kicking.
Bags, medicine balls.
I have a couple of those.
That's the other thing too. Me and Ryan O'Neill were skiing and we were like, let's go to like the terrain park and do jumps. And we jump 2 feet off the ground.
Ruin your knees.
Yeah. But like, but anyway, there's all these like cool kids, 17 to 24 year olds who know how to do flips and shit. Yeah. And he goes, it's interesting because between 15 and about 40, we'd be too embarrassed to come here. And now that we're fully adults, we're like, yeah, we're not going to be as good as you.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't care. But right, I waste all the time. Go, I don't know. Everybody's going to look at me. Seeing movies by yourself. Because, everyone going to look at me and think I'm a loser?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Like, instead, I'm bored.
I remember being so embarrassed first time I went to see a movie by myself. I think I was a professional comic on the road when I did it.
Yeah, which like I just want to fill time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's super enjoyable. Get to, there's no fucking distractions. Up. Yep.
Afternoon show.
Yeah. You don't have to share an armrest with anybody. You don't have to worry about them. Everybody always does something weird. I always hate something that everybody I've ever seen a movie with does. It's like, really chewing your popcorn like that? Yeah, why are you reaching into the popcorn? Can you make more noise with that wrapper?
Well, how about people that start texting and then you see the bright white phone?
Fuck that.
That was triple. We went to see Jackass 2, I think, in like Vancouver or something. And I was like, hey, dude, I'm very excited for this movie. You can't be on your phone. This was early triple like addiction. Mm-hmm. And he was like, okay. And then he had to. You can't just tell someone not be addicted. Got up and went to the back and did it. I was like, all right, you met me halfway.
Yeah, that's better. But
yeah, like you think everyone's in the movie theater is going to stop and look at you. Like, are you here alone? Hey, everybody, look at this loser.
Bro, I've heard people talking on their phone in the movie. It's hey, what's nuts. Up? Yeah, I'm at the movies. And you're like, what the fuck,
the
man?
The complete lack of care about anyone else in the fucking world.
Yep.
Ugh, I want to smash those people's faces in.
Yeah, there's
and that's another thing I've noticed in just my short time here in Texas. Major difference here between here and California with that, for sure. That type of stuff, like Texan, you know, there's just more of like a gentleman, be a good person type of thing. Like,
talk to Simone about it. He's the ultimate good person.
Yeah.
And he goes, you know, when you can't make a left, but you're like, oh, I have to, you know? Right. And so you're like, I'm just going to go. And everyone's honking at you. Like, we're all trying to go. And he's like, well, what do you want me to do? It's like, go and take longer.
Right.
Like, be aware there's other people around.
Yeah, you fucked up.
You missed the turn, so keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah, you missed the turn.
Yeah. Just stop everyone
just
for you.
Just wait it out.
Yep, you make a U-turn up ahead.
But God, that's so prevalent in California. God, I've never seen more people take those left turns when the light turns red. Just right into the incoming traffic.
Four, five, six in a row.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. One guy does it. Fuck it, I'm doing it too. Ugh. Go behind him. Ugh.
Just justified for no reason. Blech. Ugh. Fucking L.A.
A lot of cuts.
Not all California.
But not all. A lot of Californians are cool. But a lot of people are just like way too driven and ambitious. And also, how many of them are trying to make up for like whatever deficits they have as a person with success, right? They're making up for a tortured childhood. They're making up for, you know, whatever the fuck it is. And they're just trying to make it in this crazy town where it's all about status and your showy wealth. You know, I remember reading this story recently about people getting robbed in LA. A lot of people getting robbed.
Sure.
And this guy got robbed. He had $500,000 watch on, and he was sitting outside in a Beverly Hills restaurant.
Oh.
And the guy came up to him, put a gun to his head, and took. It's a Richard Mille watch. They're kind of like crazy looking, like real fancy watches. And
damn,
and this dude stole his watch, put a gun. I'm like, why are you outside with $500,000 watch? And then I went, oh, it's L.A.
It's L.A. You got to be showy. Remember Diaz? I remember us being at, wasn't the Standard or something. We were on a patio, daytime. And Diaz saw a guy with leather pants on, and it was like 85 degrees. And it was like noon. And he goes, look at his fucking rocker. He's trying to live it his whole life, but he only has one pair of pants. It's a sweaty daytime wearing these fucking leather pants.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Well, there's some of those guys that, like, there was like a look that you had to have, and those guys had that look, period.
Sunset Strip, rock and roll.
Yeah.
Leather pants. What's Earl Skakel still wears leather pants. He lives, you know, right there. He lives on the Sunset Strip.
But he's got money. He can have multiple pairs.
Yeah. Like, well, yeah.
What's that place, the next to the Roxy? The one place where everybody goes. The Rainbow Bar and Grill.
Yeah, Rainbow
Room.
Right,
the Rainbow.
Best pizza. The fucking...
Very good pizza.
The, pepperonis would curl up.
Mm.
Ron Jeremy and the lead singer of Motorhead was always there. Lemmy.
Always pictures of Kinnison there on their old bold imported pictures.
All the rock and roll people. And that's right next door was where Kinnison did his HBO special.
Oh, really?
He did it at the Roxy.
Damn, and that place is still, it's a time machine.
Mm-hmm.
It's still like, oh, we're still heavy 80s metal.
Yeah, oh, man. Those people are still hanging on. Uh-huh. They go those 80s rocker girls that are now in their 60s, and they still tease their hair up, and they go there, and they get a little too drunk. And
they can still get it.
I can't imagine what that little area is going through right now, because we all watched it decline, obviously, and... You know, I mean, just look at Lemmy and Ron Jeremy themselves, who we just referenced. Like, Ron, oh my God, we found out he's a rapist. He's in jail forever. Lemmy's dead.
For the rest of his life.
There's no scene there. Like, there's just these amazing clubs that are, like, sort of like standing museum graveyards.
Is this the same as Haight-Ashbury?
It makes you wonder about the...
It's still selling what it used to be, but it's not that anymore.
Right.
Right.
So it's still like, oh, look at these kids. I'm like, these kids came in and they got dropped off in the Mercedes by their parents.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, these aren't beatniks, you know? And the Sunset Strip is like, remember this used to be, Nashville is the same thing on like the honky tonk road.
Yeah, but
and
that's like, still
sold out ones.
Yeah, well, sort of. That's pretty sweet. Right, right. Yeah.
The Sunset Strip is not that rocker place anymore.
Right.
It's tourists.
Nashville's still cool though. That strip on Nashville's awesome. Right.
Bro, Sixth Street is the shit.
No, not
where,
here.
Where we were last night though, we drove past there last night. I'm like, look how wild this street is. People are all out there. There's food trucks. Everybody's having a good time.
We went out after dinner last night. We had to drink at a place called...
Got it.
Why?
I don't say names of places.
Why?
You'll ruin it.
I've ruined a lot of places. What?
A nice bar?
Yeah. You'll just have tons of fucking tourists showing up there to be like, this is the one Tony talked about. I'm going to show... It's cool. It's a fine business. I don't ruin places.
Right. Maybe it's better for the business.
Yeah. What are you talking about? That's you're helping a place.
Too much reach. I get
it. Do
it
for me. Keep it in for me this time.
How many downloads do you think this will get?
At least 150. Probably a lot. A lot.
Yeah, that's a lot of people.
Like in the hundreds of thousands of people will listen to this. And it's like...
Yeah. That's a good point.
You don't know what night they're going
to
show up.
Chick who killed him. And she's like, let me say the name of the place. He goes, are you nuts? You want a line of American tourists coming to this awesome restaurant? And she's such a dumb fucking actress. Like, maybe I would like that. And it's like, think it through. No, you don't.
Well,
go check out Austin is what you should say. There's plenty of places. Find your own place. They're amazing places. Don't go to that place because I want to go back there.
I like your perspective.
I want a bunch of fans there.
However, I like to pump up businesses and help them.
There's always going to be fans there.
Well, okay.
I like to pump up businesses.
I hear you.
It makes me feel good.
What can I describe the place?
Yeah, for sure.
So first of all, tell me the name.
Well, it's called... Yeah, and so what they did was they took a...
Marissa. You're not getting paid more for this.
Keep it in, Marissa. Marissa, keep it in.
Cut. Ari has weird rules.
So they took a like a budget of money. I don't know. We'll say $50,000 or something, and they went like antique shopping, like really cool. Like the couches still have the plastic on them. Everything's meant to make it feel like a grandmother's house.
It's an art piece. Dining room table you can sit at. A couch is a pool and we table all with did. The old Schlitz stuff above it.
And we all sat at a dining room table last night. Just drinks kept coming to us and we were all laughing and it's just cozy, real cozy. And there's a pool table in the back too. And
I got to have a nice talk with Sarah, that who works at the whatever about like immersive.
Yeah, you're going to have to cut that out, Marissa, because we don't want her to be annoyed by fans.
What if she gets hit up by fans, bro? Don't say her name.
All right, make it Sarah without the H. Drop that last H. Just about the immersive, like the new like style of art to where they doll up a whole place.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally used on mushrooms, but there's in every major city they'll have these.
And yeah.
That place is that. It's just, it's an art project. It's so cool to be in it. You feel like you're there.
That's dope. Hey, I hate to do this, but I have to go pick my kid up from school. I realize we're getting a little long in the tooth in this show here.
Nice having you, man. Tony, we'll keep going.
I'm glad I did it, man. It's fun. Thanks. You guys keep going, but I enjoyed this very much. It's fucking, there's something really fun about just a hang, you know? I mean, just yesterday with us, we did a podcast with Shane and Norman and Ari and myself, and we're shoot morons. Drunk, we shotgun beers, and it's like, God, it was so fun. And then we did a show together, and then we went and feasted. What a day!
Yeah,
I mean, what a day from 3 p.m. on. It was fucking amazing.
It is cool too. You're gonna see this. Well, this happened in La Jolla. All the comics coming here are on vacation, so they're like, let's have fun.
Yeah,
right.
They're here like, having fun. That's what La Jolla used to be, and then they would come to L.A. like, we hanging out? Like, no, man.
I've no one's hanging out in L.A. Yeah. Well, especially now at the store. It's like I keep hearing that it's not a hang anymore. That people do their sets and go home. And that makes me sad.
Which boggles my mind. It's like the backbone of that place is supposed to be the hang. It's the, like there was a hang before it was filled.
And everyone was still feeling COVID. And so it's like you're talking to people. And New York had gotten over it. Over the mental, like, we're all worried.
Yeah.
And they still had it there. And you're talking in the back. My mask's off because it's all people I know. And, you know, and they're like, everyone's like, oh, I'm like. Oh, really?
They're all brainwashed, man. It's fascinating how, I mean, obviously COVID's a real thing and it's bad and we've all had it, but it's fascinating how different cities approach it depending upon the message that they've gotten from their government. Yeah. And the government in LA is like, we got to shut things down. You can't go outside and eat. It's too dangerous. You can't go to gyms. It's too dangerous. You can't have comedy. It's too dangerous. You can't have outside comedy. It's too dangerous. Like
the outside comedy was a wild
That was
one.
Crazy.
That's when New York thrived, was the outside comedy.
You guys were thriving time. And we were starving. Well, I was already out. Tony and I were already gone.
Yeah.
We Tony and I were early adopters of the Austin lifestyle.
It was incredible that you guys were allowed to do outdoor stuff. We were trying to do that at the Comedy Store at the time, and it was like, okay, we were allowed. Oh, they came in, they cracked down. We're not allowed to do it anymore.
Bunch of rats.
Yeah.
Yep.
New York has the real rats, and LA has the fucking other rats.
Tattletales.
There's cunts everywhere you go. But
they did that with Roast Battle too. Remember that?
Yeah.
Stuff. Some fucking roast battler.
I mean, we were doing Kill Tony. Sometimes I hear people or see things where, you know, people will be like, I don't know about this move to Austin for Kill Tony. Like, LA had a bigger pot of comedians. They, you know, people just complain about anything. But I think they forget. I know. But I think they forget that we were stuck doing that show in an empty main room. It was like a studio lot with no audience. So it was horrendous. It's a live podcast without a live audience sucks.
Yeah.
Anyway, we made the best out of it. We did stupid things and had William doing sit-ups and, like, you know what I mean? Stupid shit. We made the best out of it. But the worst of times. It's literally the band on the Titanic playing while the ship is sinking.
But you got through it. Well, we had to get out here. Better now.
Yeah, we had to get to where
the shows in Vulcan are wilder than any of the shows I've ever been in LA.
Tony Hitchcock has a podcast, a recorded live show called Kill Tony. It's on YouTube. You can see every episode on youtube.com/KillTony.
It's the best live comedy show in the country, in the world.
It's fun
it really
to do
is.
Too.
It's fucking awesome, and it's such a great resource for young up and coming comics like Brian Simpson. That was his first big set.
Just got on Netflix.
He just had an amazing special that's out right now on Netflix.
Preacher Lawson won America's Got Talent. We found him like 6-7 years ago. There's video of me telling him that he's going to be a huge star.
It's amazing how many people have come from that and actually gone on to develop real careers. All right, I gotta go.
Yeah, buddy. Thanks.
Right. Love you guys.
Yeah. Fun times.
Enjoy your bang bang.
Will do. Yeah. Where do I get bullets from?
What is that?
That guy at like the desk? You get 9mm?
I fucking almost got $100. I did that once. I said, can I interview? I'll give $100. And she was like, I'll do whatever you want me to do.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
All right. See you guys.
Thanks, bud. All right. You know what? I'm going to drop this one and I'm going to switch to this one.
Okay. I'll just keep this one. Yeah.
Here's a good one.
Okay.
You know what I would like to ask you, because I hate comparisons.
Right.
I heard this quote once. I think it was Mark Twain. Comparison is a thief of joy. Mm-hmm. When you're like saying like, I like this, but that was better. It's like you're taking away see a great dunk. Like, it's not just go, that was a great dunk. You're like, oh, so-and-so did a better job. It's like, now you've lowered this for no reason.
Yeah.
Tell me what you like about Austin without comparing it to LA. Just like, oh, here's a fun, cool...
I mean, there's so much. The art here is more on the forefront.
Great art scene.
Yeah, it's right there. The music is blatant. It is accepting. It's warm. It's welcoming. It has real weather. It has unbelievable restaurants. Again, not comparing it to anything, but if I were to...
Because that's when you get into like the restaurants here are good, and then people go, well, New York is better. It's like, I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
No, dude, there's no question.
Yeah.
But it's like, people ask me too about the scene. What's better? Like, this is like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
LA and New York, what's a better comedy scene? And you're like, you start to answer, and then you're like, but by the way, open micer, you'll be great in either spot.
Right.
They're both amazing spots. Top two in the world.
Yeah.
Two of the top three in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, relax.
Yeah.
You want to say, oh, well, this one sucks, but it's like, that's not the truth.
There's an overall, the freeway system here is much better. The houses are a little bit cozier, warmer, less of that modern vibe.
Freeway system here sucks.
No.
With all the ins and outs. It's always been terrible. It was never made for this many people. But now you're doing comparison to make it better because, like, LA's worse. This is one of the top 10 worst freeway systems.
No, it's not.
It is.
No, you have it backwards. Junk. You don't even drive. You haven't driven in decades.
Well, I've driven here plenty of times.
It's
always crazy traffic.
What are you talking about?
It's always crazy traffic. The infrastructure here was not made for this many people. It's a standard.
I live here. I do things every day. Yeah. I drive every single day. There's never traffic. Ever. What do you consider traffic?
When you can't move for a while.
It literally never happens.
Doubles your...
And I'm saying it never happens.
I don't know what changed them, because it was always like, fuck, we got stuck.
In Houston, shit's a little bit clunkier. You know, the Texas cities are all different. Houston's a crazy city. Like, people never really talk about it. You picture it like another different... It's like, it's like another Texas city. No, it's like Chicago spread out on crack. It's like insane.
Also, the rich people there are oil rich.
Yeah.
Which is a different kind of rich.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there's clearly the freedom thing here.
What about
unbelievable, and I think that helps mental health across the boards. Like, I think that...
You mean personal freedoms? Like, do whatever you want kind of shit?
Sort of, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like being able to fucking have a gun and,
just put that on the couch in between us.
Yeah, I mean, being able to do this shit right here.
It's so weird because that seems wrong. And I'm like, we are at a gun range.
Yep.
So people aren't even looking at you.
Yeah.
A little boy in there. There's a little fucking 8-year-old over there.
So let me fucking... I'm kidding.
My first gun. My nephew just wrote here's what I did on Hanukkah for his school.
Mm.
And he's 5 or 6, so he can't spell anything right. And he wrote uncle as uncool.
Aww.
My uncool. And I'm like, I don't care for that at all. I don't find that cute. You could have been K-E-W-L, I'd be fine. What?
You're uncool.
My uncool does it. I'm the coolest guy in your motherfucking family, dude.
It's true. That is true. You are the coolest guy in the family. I'm sure of that.
What about the chicks here?
I mean, this is, again, it's just not even, It's not fair because it's
Texas chicks, dude. There's something about them. They're wild.
Yeah.
They're wild. And they're not dumb like Miami.
Right. But it's funny you mention that because I was just going to say, you ever notice in Florida how the women like want to have fun? They want to have fun. They want to have fun with boys and they want to also have fun with their friends, but they want to have fun. It's just a different vibe. And they're horny. Horny as fuck. There's something about the heat. There's something about humidity. It did, without a doubt, affects things.
Yeah.
And so you have a little bit of both of that. You have the... Have you ever noticed how pretty girls are in Columbus, Ohio?
No.
Well, there's a thing there. There's something in the water. It's a corn-fed beef type of thing where there's like real natural beauty. It's not the L.A. Valley girl covered in makeup, klutzy thing that's ugly when you wake up next to her in the morning type of vibe. Yeah. It's a beautiful girl that's beautiful all the time. And maybe she has a couple things wrong with her, but she's beautiful. There's a lot of that here, too.
Interesting.
It's a type of, I don't think it's in the water. I think it's in the fucking food.
It's the upbringing or something. Yeah. It's just the general vibe.
Yep.
It's like there's these vibes. So like Morrissey, you know Morrissey, the band?
Yeah.
The singer. He's big among Latinos in Southern California. And you're like, what? It doesn't make any sense. You know, like that doesn't sound like the vibe of Morrissey. Of his emo fans. Adam Egit would be a Morrissey fan. You know?
Yeah.
But you don't think a Latino... And then it traced back probably to one cool Latino guy going, I love the band The Smiths. And then, ooh, if he likes it, if Juan likes it, I like it too. And it just spread from there.
Yeah.
I think there was some awesome slut here in Texas.
Yeah.
Like generations ago and just set the tone.
Here's another thing about Austin without comparing it to anywhere else is you can make real friends here. That aren't
that been?
Comedians. It's been
how's that been having friends outside of the industry in any way? Because in LA, New York didn't have this problem,
right?
In LA, because we're a minor industry, showbiz and comedy, but in LA, it is the industry,
right?
So how is it talking to normcore people?
Well, here's what's interesting: is there a lot of them, you know, are special in their own way, if it makes sense?
Like Special Olympics.
Yeah, they have like a little backstory. Maybe it's Texas oil money. Maybe it's, you know, maybe they run this business or maybe they do that. But like, first of all, working hard here goes without saying. Like, that's natural Texas shit.
Working hard.
Yeah. Whereas California, obviously, quite different. If you make money anyway, then you're okay.
What do you mean?
If you can survive, then you're good. If you look like you're making money, you're good.
The image is important there.
And it's here, it means nothing. I'm wearing sweat. You know what I mean? Like,
I remember asking Yael about I was moving to New York. And I was like, hey, could a guy get laid if he has a studio apartment? Because I went from that awesome, you know, the sweetest
super cool apartment. Yeah.
In LA.
Yep.
With a pool in the middle, you know?
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. And then to full kitchen to be like, I can't afford that in New York. So can I get a studio? I'm like, can a guy get laid if he has a studio? Because in LA, you can't. Unless you're real poor, they look at you, like young, they look at you like, ugh.
Right.
And she goes, if you don't have a roommate in New York, that's a sweet selling point. So she's like, no one will care if the bed's in the first room you enter.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense.
So here they don't care at all? Like what kind of car you drive or...
No. So if you do, it's that much more of a bonus. You know, it's like, cool.
Interesting.
Oh, this will be fun. This will be a fun ride.
I mean, I'm really stoked on the idea of getting this comedy scene going. A brand new comedy scene. There was a old Star Trek, the movie, where they made...
When's the last time you were on a lineup like you were on Tuesday? Me, you, Gillis, Norman, Segura, Rogan, Hans Kim, the young buck who kills to start the show.
That level, I would say...
It's been a while, a couple of years, the store or a crazy seller show.
The stand will have one sometimes. You're like, Jesus Christ. But not start to finish like that.
Right.
I would say there was a show that me and we put on list in a PS in a public old public school that's now like affordable housing. But artists got in. So it wasn't like poor people. It was artists. So they never left. And we had in the downstairs, they're like, can we use the conference room? We put on a show. It was the three of us who ran it.
Joe List
and fuck, I forget his name. Boston guy. Fuck it. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Fitzsimmons.
Mm-hmm.
Attell.
Ooh.
Big J.
Uh-huh.
Louis.
Love it.
Pre.
Yep.
Everything. And it was just like, it was the same thing as what we had on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. There's no better show in the world tonight
right.
than the show we put on.
No doubt. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. You don't get those that often.
Well...
But also, that's not completely normal.
We're
here.
Expecting a lot of that. We've been doing that. You know, ooh. It's a lot of, oh, tonight it's Tim Dillon, Segura, me, Rogan. It's
what I like, too, is the guy when no one knew what Fahim was or right. Santino was,
right.
you know, or Theo was. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, oh, it's David Spade and Sarah Silverman and then Joe Rogan. Who was that guy in the middle?
Right.
It's like he just had the fame, but
right.
he's as good as any comic that's, in the world.
To
you know?
Me, that's what it's all about. Quality. I mean, there's nothing worse than a disappointing celebrity set, right?
And that's
like,
all you
get. It's sort
of
sad.
Dude, the first time I saw Ron White at
yeah,
the store.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't there, and then he was.
Right.
And it was like, oh, cool. We knew him from, you know, Kings
yeah.
of Comedy. Not Kings of Comedy, the Blue Collar.
And it was
just
yeah.
like his own stuff. Best opener to a special maybe ever. He goes, my wife got the crazy idea that I'm cheating on her. I am, and here's why.
Yeah.
It was immediately like turning yeah. the crowd to like make a choice.
Yeah.
But he had not a great set. I'm not mm-hmm. busting balls here or anything.
Right, and he's probably like, wasted.
Sure,
without
maybe.
A doubt. Yeah.
And I saw him first time I'd seen him then. I'd been there for a decade, mm-hmm. so I probably just hasn't been there ever.
Right.
And I was like, hey man, good set. Which I was lying.
Yeah.
Because I was like impressed by I'm getting to talk to Ron White, and he knows who he is and what he's capable of always, and he just goes,
right.
And I was like, why did I even say that?
Yeah.
He knows it wasn't.
Right.
And I know it wasn't. So now we can't talk.
Right.
I'll have to meet him again fresh at the time.
Yeah.
Because like, here's a bullshitter.
Right.
Right to my fucking face.
Yep.
Or you suck and you think that was good.
Right. Was you so know, he's like, sober now.
Oh, I heard that.
And he's fucking ripping, man. He has, I'm not going to do any of them, but he has jokes that I know. Like that are, and I can't say that about almost anybody. Like there's one joke that I could say he has the best Cosby joke.
Damn.
And it's like it's just wild to it's incredible to be that close to a beast who was running at I don't know 20-40% his entire career, it turns out, and now he's glowing and his timing and his execution is fucking crazy and it plays a role.
Like groggy even if you're just like doing a podcast but you're hungover, you know, you're not as good
yeah.
as if you're fresh.
Story of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so like when Attell quit drinking, everyone's like, what? But he's known as a guy who can handle it. It's like, yeah, when he was 30 and now he's 50. Like,
right.
It goes away.
And he got stronger too.
He got way better.
Right.
Noticeably, like yeah. Jesus Christ,
yep.
dude. I don't know if it was possible for David Hell to yep. have another level, but fucking shit.
I don't
shit.
Think there's many people that truly, I mean, you know, we talk about these echelons of who's the greatest.
Yeah.
And you compare Bill Burr and Louis and Chappelle and it goes on and on. But truly, I really believe at the end of the day that the undisputed, undefeated, current ranking number one, if it was like boxing or UFC, that it would be Dave Attell. What do you think about that?
I think he's... So...
What do you think Louis would say? What do you think Bill Burr would say?
I don't think they would go, you're wrong. I would think they would go, Louis and Bill are cool enough too to like not like get into a like puff chest thing about
right.
it. And they'd want to say I'm the best, you know, but like I think they'd be like, that's an acceptable argument.
Yeah.
You know, or like, yeah, I can't fault you on that. You know,
right.
I remember when like Bill was trying to take over from Louis,
mm-hmm.
the throne.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, he wouldn't say Louis sucked. He was like,
right.
I've been beating you, but you've got more fame for now. And then right. it's like, people will recognize me soon. And they did.
Yeah.
And then Louis abdicated for a while. Dude, I brought Joe List to open for me a couple times
yeah.
right after that, early yeah. 2018. And I was like, guys, this next comic's been opening for Louis C.K. on the road. Luckily, he became available to us. His loss is our gain. Please welcome Joe List. One time, Attell, I might have told this before. I love this story. So Chappelle comes in, just in terms of like what people think is the best.
Chappelle comes into where?
This Comedy Cellar.
Okay.
And me and Attell are sitting on the stoop outside, just like shitting on passerbys.
Yep.
You know, having fun, smoking cigarettes.
Smoking cigarettes. That's what I do when I'm there with him.
And Dave Attell, how should I say it? Chappelle, I'll say his last name only.
Mm-hmm.
Chappelle comes in And then he pops his head back up and he goes, or as he's going in, he stops, comes back up and goes, Dave, Attell. He called him Dave. But he goes, Attell, have you gone on yet? And he goes, no, not yet. Back up. Sorry. Back up the story. Attell's always like, do you want to switch? So me, Dave Attell, will go on last and Ari, you can go on second or last. Because usually she has me on last. Me or Godfrey. Big J used to have it a lot. We did more seller spots. And if it was like, hey, him and Jeff Ross are going to do bumping mics for 45 minutes, I'm like, let me go on ahead of you.
Right.
But if it's just regular Dave Attell doing 20, I'm like, give me the test. Like, yeah. This is a Tuesday. I want the test more than I want to shine.
Absolutely.
You know? So, and what a great test to follow Dave Attell at the very end of a dead night. Right. You know? It's like, great. So he'd asked me earlier, do you want to switch? I'm like, nah, man, I'll follow you. It's okay. Thank you. But I don't have anywhere to be in the morning. So then Chappelle comes in, does that, pops that back up. Attell, have you gone on yet? And he goes, no. He goes, okay, I'll go on right after you. And then I was like, that was cool of him, man, to like show you that respect or whatever. Because he's allowed to just bump whoever, but he still looks at Dave Attell as like a master.
Right.
He goes, and you called it. I'm not going to bump you.
Yeah.
Goes inside, goes to the back, looks at the lineup, and he goes, this is what I was told. Who's Ari Shaffir? Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, he's a comic here. He's new. And he goes, well, he's about to get fucked. So then Dave Attell, after Chappelle goes downstairs, and I don't see him doing that, Attell goes, you sure you don't want to switch now? And I was like, oh, fuck. Yeah, that'd actually be great. I don't want to wait for 8 hours. It could be 8 hours for me to go up. Like, literally, that's not out of the realm of possibility.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, sure, absolutely. So I go on. I come off. Chappelle's there on the steps. And he's like, you're Ari? And I'm like, yeah. And he like sees like a tail going on. He just goes, well played.
He's so cool.
He's cool. He's a really cool millionaire.
He really is. Really cool.
Cool to people and just cool to be around. He's just like he
is cool to people. He once purposefully didn't bump me actually at the Comedy Store.
Why? Which,
just because he knew me.
He's like, I've seen you around.
Yeah, he knows me. And he goes, I'll go after Tony Hinchcliffe because he didn't know the names after me. Wow. But, you know.
Wow.
And he waited. He went to the back bar for 45 minutes to an hour and then.
They can be cool, these bumpers.
Yep.
They have it in them. One time with Griffin, remember Eddie Griffin was tortured everybody?
Right.
Go on it. The show started at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Go on at 9 and go till 2.
Yeah.
Not a single comic got to
so
go on.
So 15 comedians were out of work that night.
Yeah. And nobody ever got called to stay at your party.
Right.
It's not happening. So anyway, because we had no idea. It might be on for an hour. It might be on for 7.
Right.
So one time, I was hosting Potluck, the open mic, employees and open micers. And Eddie Griffin comes on and goes, I'd like to go on next. And I feel like no one had ever done this. But maybe it's because I was an employee for so long. And I was like, hey, Eddie, you can go on next. Sure. Just so you know, these guys are all, this is all the employee section. And they do their shift, 2 to 3 shifts a week or more, so they can get their 3 minutes. And this is the only time they can go on. Would you mind? We got another 45 minutes of that. Would you mind just waiting until the end of that? And he goes, oh, okay, sure. It wasn't a big ask. Right. Just no one ever presents it to these people.
Right. Yeah.
And the last one I saw that was the coolest too was Chris Rock when I was assistant talent coordinator. Mm-hmm. And Duncan was gone that week on vacation. So I became the de facto talent coordinator.
Wow.
Dave Mishinowitz.
Wow. I haven't thought about him in a decade and a half.
Yeah.
Wow.
Me and O'Neill saw him in Michigan. Ran into him. He came to a show. He lives out there now.
Wow. Yeah.
So
wow.
Mish points at him. Chris Rock coming in the back because I'm working the front booth at the store of the main room. Points at him, but he's wearing like a sweatsuit and he's like kind of like got some beard hair. So I'm like, is this like a homeless guy? Is he like, that's my bouncer ability, not my talent coordinator ability. Like, get him,
Dave. Mishevitz? Wait.
I couldn't tell what Mishevitz was saying. He's pointing at this guy coming across.
Yeah.
Really, he had just said, hey, go tell Ari he's running the, you know, the lineup tonight. So I'm like, well, I'm like, fucking homeless guy. So it's total racism on my part. And he comes through and I close the curtain behind him, like balled up, ready to like kick this guy out. And then it's like, oh, it's Chris Rock. It's far different than what I was expecting.
Right.
It's not a homeless guy. It's also a legend.
Right.
And he goes, hey, can I go on next here? After Diaz? And I was like, oh. And I was like, yeah, you can, but usually the poppins go on in the original room. And he goes, yeah, I saw that, but like I saw Diaz is the last comic on this lineup, and then they still have like five more in the OR, so I just figured.
Right. Yep.
Did an hour.
Yep.
At 1:55, he goes, I know the staff gets off soon, so I'm going to wrap it up here.
Wow.
And it's like, who could ever fault anyone for being... I wish they'd be more like that. What were you going to... You had one?
Yeah. I saw a lot in my days as the cover booth guy at the store.
You did booth a lot, right?
And, you know, one of the more interesting ones is... during my period of time, wasn't so much the bumping because there wasn't that many celebrities coming in. But one person who did come in, God, excuse me, barbecue, was Carlos Mencia. And he was coming in at a time where Bill Burr, again, still not anywhere near where he was about to be. This, again, this is between 12 and 15 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, it was a problem. So think about that. Like, not only were there not celebrities coming in, but the celebrity that was popping in sometimes, literally other guys were like, I want you to flash the blue light.
Here's what people don't know. The blue light means it's time to get off. Like,
right.
Like, you, if a regular 15-minute set,
right.
You get it at 12. A 10
right.
minute set,
and
you get
on
it
the
at
left
eight.
Side of the stage, it's above the keyboard, there's a little blue star, and mm-hmm. every comedian knows where it is and that it's on. And
oh, but, time to get, wrap
yeah,
it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, and if there's no one there, they don't turn the light on. And suddenly, like, I have been on stage for like 30 minutes. Like, here, we have no other comics. That's the way to tell you when it is or not time to get off. And we were worried about him coming in and stealing material.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so a whole system got set up. Bill Burr, I'm pretty sure.
Because people wouldn't go on when he was around.
Right.
Like, if he's here, I can't go on. I like my material. And
right.
He's not going to stop.
So when Mencia would come in and check in and come to the cover booth, because that's who you had to check in with, hey can I come in, can I pop in, so you would know. And sometimes he would even come through that back door and just sit in a bucket seat, and that was like, oh shit, there he is.
How long has he been here?
And you would signal to certain comedians that were in the know, like Bill was a big one, and it was a blinking blue star, and you never
blinking, so it was like on
right,
off on off on
right
off.
And,
like,
you never it. Got the that only meant one thing.
Yeah, and it might be 4 minutes to do a 15-minute set.
Correct.
And he'd be like, "I know what that means.
Thank you so much. That's my time."
Yeah, maybe you can bring
it. Only meant one thing. The blinking blue star. There is no other explanation.
We had a code for it, even if it was before the blinking got in. That's a smart one.
Yeah,
it was just like, "What should the code be?" I'm like, "Just yell out, he's here," and I'll wrap up. Like, we don't have to
make
the
crazy.
Crowd. Or we early on met Edgar. We'd be like, "Caca," like, "Hey guys, that's it for me."
Carlos.
Yeah.
Carlos.
As soon as he pulls in, it's like, let me get another comic up because I'm
done. What a weird time. Boy, you know, every once in a while, the Comedy Store historically sometimes makes really bad decisions. It is so interesting. Think about that one. And the same goes for their agents at the time. I think CAA or W, or no. Yeah, it was CAA, I think.
Yeah. No, it was not.
No, Gersh. Yep. They picked the wrong one too. They picked Carlos over Joe. The store picked Carlos.
They should have picked, like any comedian on social media, when mm-hmm. another comedian does something wrong,
mm-hmm.
silence. They should have picked silence.
Yeah.
That's between you guys. We're not getting involved as a policy.
Yep.
That's what Mitzi would do.
Yep.
I'm not getting involved. Go beat each other up and figure it out. I'm not going to be the one to know whose joke it was first.
Right.
Go beat each other up.
Yep.
You know, you guys will police yourselves.
Yeah.
It's a mistake for her to get involved.
Yep.
She was smart on that end.
Wild how that lady had so much figured out. What a brain on her. Jeez.
A lunatic tyrant and a really intelligent, like, woman at the same time.
And the style. I mean, look at all these fucking clubs trying to do this and
exactly that.
And instead, just black leather, red neon, fucking couple
room.
Chandeliers.
Well, this looks gross. Like, yeah, the rooms go off.
Yep. It's all about she made it so that the show was cool.
That was so crazy. There was nothing for us to do other than, like, okay, I'm getting off.
Mm-hmm.
I heard he used to sit at open mic nights with a notebook and just, like, sit there. Like,
yep.
He saw it as freeing these premises from these people who didn't know how to handle them.
Yeah. And, yeah, he knows how to do. He knows. He does. That one stupid Mexican lady that he makes it better. She actually, you know, yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, you're right.
You're not involved in you don't see the hurt of this.
Right.
Just like you don't see Amazon. You're like, what's the difference?
Right.
Like, they don't pay their employees well. They don't give them breaks. They kill mom and pops. Like, I don't know, man. This shit's coming to my door.
Right.
Like, you're not wrong to not.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's fine.
I paid $3 for this shower curtain. I don't care who made it. Fuck it, it's me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But man, what an interesting fucking.
It was a crazy time. My favorite time. It was the most wild.
Oh yeah, man. Me too, dude. I wasn't responsible for anybody else's career. You
fucking
know what I mean?
In the room with some woman who's there, just there on a night, and then fucking in the store. And I'm a door guy. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like she saw me on stage,
right?
Just like talk. The wildest people showed up to that.
Yep. One time, a lady made me come in my pants. I was a 22-year-old door guy. This hot Latina chick. I mean, thick and giant tits, wearing a hot black dress, and like her giant fucking tits are just like old school cleavage.
Yeah.
And I'm a 22-year-old scrawny fucking
a scrub. No one should fuck you.
Nothing burger door guy. I mean, I'm wearing two pairs of pants because it's freezing cold outside. None of my clothes fit me. You know what I mean? No style whatsoever. A fucking do nothing dork who's sitting around quietly. And she came out to the back door. I was working the back door that night.
Yeah.
She's like, "Hey, what's up?" Blah 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 blah.
I'm like, "What do you mean, what's up?"
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I got lucky by even the words that I was, because I didn't even know how to talk. I didn't know how to talk to anybody then. So I just happened to say the right things. "Oh, not much. What's up with you?" "Whoop, I got it. Okay, not much. I'm watching the show. This seems like a cool building. Yeah, you want to see more of it?" Yeah,
I love
it.
You just nailed it. Like, it was a perfect game.
I can't believe
that's
it.
The Buster Douglas shot.
I can't believe it. Oh my god! Oh my god!
It all came together.
I made six in a row. Holy shit! And she goes, "Yeah." And we went to the main room, green room.
That game when Manute Bol hits like seven threes, and Charles Buck is like, "I'm not even gonna guard you. Go ahead, do another one."
So I showed her the main room, green room, and she's like, "Oh, this is so cool. These leather couches. Why don't you sit down?"
What?
And I sat down. She grinded on me. We're making out, and she's just grinding. So I came in my pants.
Wow.
I remember I went back to the parking lot where Matt Edgar had covered the door. I'm like, "Matt, cover the door for a few minutes." You know what I mean? One of those.
Uh-huh.
To God, ask Matt about this next time you see him. There's no way he forgot this. Because I go back to him. She goes back to her seat in the original room. I go up to him. I go, "Hey, Matt, you see that right there? And my black pants, and there's this patch." I go, "Guess what that is, buddy? That's cum." And we're laughing. Anyway, about 45 minutes to an hour later, Matt comes up to me again. He goes, "Hey, dude, did you go see that girl in the room?" I go, "No." He goes, "Go look at her. Go look at her." And I go back in the room. She's sitting there watching the show. I see her. Then as I walk more, I see that she's with this gigantic, muscular, tattooed, cartel-looking fucking
gangster. God.
So blatantly a gangster. Not a fake gangster.
Oh, my God. Like,
a real badass motherfucker. Yep. Yep.
What?
So now there I am, this scrawny 22-year-old door guy in way over my head, like basically hiding out. But, you know, it was cool. She was cool.
Very cool.
Everybody was cool.
She sounds like one of the coolest people in history.
Yeah, I have no idea what happened to her, where she's from, what her name was, anything. But
She'll
forever be known as the hot, thick Mexican chick that made me come in my pants I was 22.
Oh, my God.
I remember where I was when I showed Matt Edgar the spot. I'm like, "Look at that. That's cum, dude." He's dying. We're just living our lives. Both of us, 22, 23.
You take these dweebs, you throw them into the wildest place. And remember Kevin Rook?
He's my example. God, I do.
He didn't last very long. He was a lawyer from Arkansas, Christian, and he had a dream of being a comic. Got passed.
Yeah, nerdy white guy.
Nerdy white guy. And then he's around, like, all these, like Jamar Neighbors and him should never come in contact, you know? But, like, they do.
Yep.
And a former Orthodox Jew and a, you know, a degenerate this and you know,
and a white trash Italian kid from Youngstown.
And they're all just together in this place. Like, what the fuck is this world?
Matt Edgar, the son of a fucking congressman or whatever. Like, what?
Yeah.
What?
It's real training to become a real comic. This is the degeneracy level. You're like, okay, now I've seen all sorts of the world, sides of the world.
Yep. And different levels. And you get to see the heckler instead of being on stage and seeing it. You're the one that has to kick it out.
Dude, we went to go spy on Eddie Griffin having sex in the back, and it was me. I don't remember who else it was. Me, David Taylor, and Hart. And he was back there. He took a girl back there. So we're like, sweet.
That sounds like such a crew to go watch somebody fuck, without a doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. Might have been Freddie also, Freddie Lockhart. I'm not sure. There was somebody else. But we're like, let's go spy on him. Let's go see him fucking. By the way, we're supposed to be working. We're all on the clock, right. But no one's there.
And those are all the posts of the store. That's the back security, the front.
Somebody just pulled out a machine gun.
A very serious machine gun.
Damn, that's a kill machine.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
What the fuck was I saying?
Oh, Hart, all those people supposed to be working.
Oh yeah, I'm saying that back then that is everything. So that is in charge of the front, the back. So literally,
and
drinks. Our Hart's the bartender. So if that many guys are gone, that means the place is fully exposed. Anybody can come. I wonder what that is. We should ask. I wonder what that is. That'd be cool to find out what that is.
Yeah.
Then you could put a picture of it up. Because, like, the fact that that gun is that loud, because there's guns. You
what
guys,
the fuck is the that? Listener,
the viewers of this might not know, but we're at an extremely busy
gun
developed range. Gun range. Like, this is a hot spot. There's a whole ton of things underneath us. This is just the VIP section. That we're at. Yeah, this
oh,
is
really?
Yeah, this is a closed that'll wing of.
Does it seem way well put together, well right. to do people?
Yeah, all those VIP cars section. In the parking lot are all
downstairs right. chaff.
Yep.
Steerage people from
yep.
to Titanic.
Yep, the peasants.
The peasants with guns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hopefully they don't watch this.
We were all like, how can we spy on him? So we don't know where he is in the room. We just know he went in there. So he might be in the heart of the main room. Mm-hmm. So we had to peer in through that back service entry door. And we peered in like Scooby-Doo, like one head over the other. It's okay. He's like, okay, we don't see him. Now, he could be in the girls' bathroom there. Could be in the boys' bathroom. So we had to like clear each one, like fucking tactical training. It's not. So it's got to be the green room or the main room. And then we go back there quietly. He's in there. We can hear him. Mm-hmm. And we're like, we want to be sure that he's
what
fucking
do you hear? Shit. Okay.
You know, just movement.
Yeah.
And we're like, how do we get back in there? Because now it's like that door opens. He's going to be right there.
Right.
Can't figure out a way. And we're like, what should we do? And then Taylor figures it out. We go in, obviously. So Taylor's like, I don't want to creak the door open. I want to go in like I'm looking for something. Like I'm like, hey, I got to go. Oh, my, you know.
Right.
Like he's just barging in, smart. Not even knowing.
Smart.
So he does that. And he opens the door and comes in and goes, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. Sees full fucking.
Right.
Sees like penetration.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And then backed up, whatever. And he was like, told us about it. Then we're in the parking lot 40 minutes later, an hour later. And Eddie's like, did you get a good look? And he goes, oh man, I'm really sorry. I didn't know anybody was in there. He goes, you did. He goes, you did, it's cool. She was hot though, huh? And then David, like, you have to drop the pretense. And he goes, yeah, dude, she was pretty hot. He goes, right? He's almost like, I don't care about you walking. It was cool. I got to show it off.
Such a fucking fun house, man. You remember the time that me, you, and someone else found out that we were triple Eskimo brothers because we found out that we hooked up with the same girl on the same night.
Because I just hung out with Chris.
Yeah.
With Chris Black Manager.
Oh, yeah.
And he had the tape. So
he still has the tape?
No, I asked him. I was like, did you record? He goes, it's on this. It's over.
Right.
They recorded over it.
That's hilarious.
To find out, to mock, just because I just talked about this on the Chappelle movie episode, but like, to mock Tripoli for ha, you got my leftovers, and then you coming in later going, wait, what day was that?
Yeah. Like, I was with her at 10:30 that
like, what
night.
Time were you? I'm like 11:45. You're like, ooh, got some bad news. So you're gonna feel bad. You were feeling good, you're gonna feel bad. And Tripoli, you're gonna feel worse.
Oh my God.
The best part of that you might not remember is later the next day, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The next night, a movie star. She was going out with a movie star. She was pretty.
Oh yeah.
And from like major movies and TV. Mm-hmm. Goes, and we knew she was going out. I'm like, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Tweeted like, hung out with the best kisser. I was like, you have no idea.
Oh fuck, man. There's nothing funnier than that. Who's the one? What's
the Madonia Big Dick contest? You ever there for that one?
Yes.
That, I mean, wild nights.
That's the kind of laughter. I saw grown men laughing that night like I've never seen them laugh before. I'll never forget the night that you and Dan Madonia.
The big dick contest.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm got the Gramercy, February 8th, storytelling show, surprise lineup. It's going to be great. It's going to be one of those lineups you were talking about. Maybe I'll tell that story for that, but go ahead.
Yeah.
Say anything. I mean, I won't.
You know, there was a fucking, I mean, should I tell the story?
I'll tell it all. It's fine. I won't tell, I'll tell it a different way.
Normal night at the Comedy Store, but this is during the era of late night fucking anything Don goes. Barris just running the house between the hours of 1:30 and 5 a.m.
One of the most underrated, biggest influence on comics in L.A., at least from the Comedy Store.
Without a doubt.
The ability to say harsh things with a smile, to be natural and to get everyone involved. Saying terrible things, but them knowing they don't mean it. My image that comes through is a grandmother that's there. It's like, oh, you dirty little slut.
Yeah.
And her loving it.
Yep. Her laughing, everybody laughing.
And on paper, it's way out of line. Yep. But in real life, he nails it.
Yep. Yep. So he's in his normal time slot. There's some girl outside that, like, word is that there's some girl being, like, slutty, like, dancing or something like that on people's laps or something like that. And Tripoli's out there. And then I can't remember exactly how it started, but I think she said, maybe you know it better, that she gives the best blowjobs or something like that. And yeah, so Tripoli comes in with this girl, and I think Don sort of coordinated it, right? Like Ari, Dan, which one of you guys thinks?
No.
Yeah.
It was, okay, which one of you thinks what? It was Dan.
Which one of you guys thinks you guys have the biggest?
Dan and another guy.
Oh.
And then that guy goes, no, I'm not doing this.
Right.
I think it was the guy she was with. He goes, I'm not doing this. Which one of you guys is the biggest dick?
And back then, Dan, by the way, was a little, another young buck door guy that was just a slut. He would hook up
with
anybody.
God damn it, he pulled.
He really did. He took it down.
And people are like, he exaggerates. I'm like, even if it's like, that's like saying Barry Bonds wouldn't hit all his homes, but he hit a few hundred.
I saw him do a lot of what.
Take down big game.
Yeah. And I was a couple years older than him at the time. And like, even I was just like, God damn it.
Also,
man.
Poor, scrawny.
Yeah.
Looked like a fucking, like he should have a hookah shell necklace.
He just knew how to talk to women. He really did.
Yeah.
So he was already, you know, balling out of control. And so he had a confidence about him. So he was happy and excited to get his dick sucked on stage. And then you said,
So the guy was like, I'll just break in for facts. So the guy was like, I can't do this. I'm sick because it's all already very interesting. We've got a porn star on stage.
Yep.
A guy, Don Barris emceeing it, Tripoli on the piano mic.
Well,
or he went to
it. No, I was actually on the piano mic because I was doing lights and sound.
Okay.
I remember very clearly. Yeah.
Okay.
And so what's interesting, because it's funny you mention that, because it is an epic moment, is that Tripoli was side stage with a microphone, which is very rare for Don, as much as he shared the room, to let someone else have a microphone who's also a late night comedian. But here's the brilliance of Don, is he knew that chaos was about to happen, and he's like, they can't ban both of us. That's his genius.
So I'm sitting at the window seat in the booth closest to the window because I'm like, this is already amazing. It's a moment. You instantly go back and forth between comedian and an audience member. At any moment, like, this is happening, I'm watching. Then you might get called on. Now I'm performing. You know, like we were talking about that little Esther moment when she got that. It was like, I'm an audience member for this. You know, the next day I'm a performer, or the next minute I'm a performer.
Right.
So I'm sitting there on the side like, this is awesome. I want to get a front seat. And they're like, this guy pulled out and goes, I'm not doing it. And then Don goes, well, will someone else join in the big dick contest with Dan? And I felt like the entire room just looked at me like, it's obviously going to be you.
Right.
You're the one who has no boundaries.
You pull out your dick and balls and butthole all the time.
And it was like, yes.
Yeah. And so you're up there. He's up there. Somehow your guys' pants are dropped, right?
It's also set the scene. 20 comedians and about 3 real audience members.
100%.
Who didn't
know. It's exactly how I remember it.
Never. You talk about that show, Segura, Shane, Norman, you and me and Rogan. This was a way wilder show if you're an audience member.
Oh, yeah.
This is like nothing.
Unbelievable. It's a way wilder show even if you're a comedian.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, I mean, I've never heard laughter like what was happening in this room. I remember Earl pointing. It was a sound I've never heard him make. And I've watched Earl laugh for fucking a decade and a half, but I've never seen him. He was pointing like that. And Huck was at this point, the Thai bartender is on the rail, the front seat. He was on the front stoop. PJ was in the middle trying to videotape it with some old flip phone. Huck is on the corner closest
PJ,
to me.
PJ, turn that fucking off.
Yeah.
You're ruining it.
Of course.
It's a live moment.
Of course PJ would figure out a way to needle like ruining it in there, but we got rid of it. You know, triply embarrassed, double hosting. They're not going to let PJ ruin it.
So,
why it was so funny, she's going back and forth, sucking.
Hold on. Let me just detail
right,
the details.
Right.
She goes, I'll judge who has a bigger dick. Yeah. And we're like, should we get a, I'm up there. Like, should we get a measuring tape in the back or like a ruler or something? And she goes, I'll measure. We're like, how are you going to measure? She goes, I'll measure with my mouth.
Yeah.
Just like on her own. I'll measure with my mouth.
So at this point, you have to picture like the hosts of this.
I lost my virginity at 23 years old and I'm not in my 30s yet.
Right.
So it's a wild jump to where I am at this moment.
And you know, when a normal human, the porn star in this instance, says something like that, I'll measure with my mouth, the hosts of the evening right at that moment, Barris and Tripoli, are dead. I mean, they're dying of laughter because it's such a natural fucking... There's nothing funnier than when a non-comedian who's not even really trying to be funny... She wasn't trying to be funny there. She was literally being serious. I'll measure with my mouth.
She's weighing on her mouth question. A math question, not a mouth question.
So now both of these guys who are responsible for what's happening this evening, in control, are, it's like if two pilots fucking just went to the back of the plane for a second. You know what I mean? Because they're gone for a minute now, because that moment in itself is so funny. They're dying of laughter. They're literally done.
They're emceeing and also being audience members at the same time.
Exactly.
Because like, that was hilarious. I just got to see that.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Nothing makes Don laugh like that. The natural fucking regular human.
Yeah.
Almost impossible to make him laugh if he knows you're a comedian and he knows how funny you are. He's a tough laugh. There's a few guys
Don,
like that. Yeah.
And what a rewarding laugh. Yeah. When you get one from him, it feels like it feels like your mom tucked you in.
Yep.
As a comedian, it's like that's one of those laughs like fucking earned that one.
Mm-hmm. And so she says she'll measure with her mouth. You and Madonia against the back curtain of the original room.
Stage left. I don't know which one stage left is, but if you're facing the stage, I'm on the right. Yep. He's on the left. We sit in chairs.
Mm-hmm. No. Were you? I believe you were standing.
I thought she was kneeling in front of us on chairs.
I think she was on her knees going back and forth. You guys standing, and neither one of you. Can I get there now?
Yes.
Neither one of these guys could get hard at all.
I mean, I went from a little mushroom to like a slightly bigger mushroom.
Very slightly. Because what was funny about it, and I think we may have jumped the gun by talking about Earl's laugh and everybody's laugh, like the sound, because this is where it started. Because the fact that you guys couldn't get hard and just these flaccid, they were just completely soft.
Because also,
it was like gym soft, like gym...
Oh, yeah. Right. Out of the pool soft.
Yep. Yep. And
it's such a comical moment. You need to be sick. This is why I've never gotten hard at strip clubs. I'm like, I'm around my buddy friends. So it's hard to focus on this girl.
Right. Yeah.
And ignore your friends like doo-doo, you know?
Right.
Well, this is the biggest boner killer.
That times 1,000, right? You're literally looking at your peers.
Yeah.
Who
and you know the situation. How you're seeing three regular audience members from fucking Tucson or something, you know? Going like, what?
Oh my God.
And then also, so that's why I thought Tripoli was on the piano mic, because I could hear him doing play by play. And Ari pulls the dick out and the mouth goes in and the mouth comes out and it goes back in and it goes back out. Yep. So I'm hearing this retarded fucking shit and I'm like dying laughing and the boner, it's just not coming.
And her head is moving back and forth at an extremely fast rate of speed. Like she really is
professional,
trying her hardest to measure your dicks with her mouth. She's getting absolutely nothing. Madonia can't get hard. Can't get hard. So the fact that they're not getting hard is what makes it so funny. This chick's trying so hard.
Huge detail left out.
Yeah.
She blows me for a while.
Right.
I get like, I told you, 10, 12% harder than I was.
Yeah.
They're tops.
Yeah.
Then it's like, all right. She's like, yeah, about right. You know, she like barks up on her fucking herpes in the mouth.
Yeah.
That one. You go to, yeah. And then it goes to Dan. And before Dan starts, he just gives her a long kiss.
No.
He starts going,
oh, God.
And we're all like, oh. Like he had forgotten what just happened. She just, it wasn't like she fucking mouthwashed in between my, and we're like, Jesus, Dan. And these are, you, the moment he goes, what? Oh.
There's so many of those little moments that I forget amongst the continuous chaos of that. There were so many beats of laughter.
Yeah.
In the cast, you know, just the crazy crew at the time.
Oh, my God.
I mean.
So.
Yeah.
Where else are you going to go with the story?
Well, it goes on and on. She keeps trying forever. Didn't she go back to you and then back to him and then back to you? Yep, right? She's like she goes, trying because she's like, I could do better.
Let me try them A first. I give them B.
Yep.
I'm not going to say what she said
because
this will come into play afterwards. I'm for sure not going to do the story on February 8th at the Gramercy. Tickets are at shapiro.com. But she goes, okay, so next day, right? I get a call from Tommy, the talent lawyer, the guy in charge.
No.
You're on stage? Your fucking dicks are out? And this lady's blowing you on stage at a fucking professional business? And I'm like, oh. First, I'm like, how'd you find out about that? Right. You weren't there.
Yeah.
But then it's like, didn't matter. He got me. And he goes, this is bad. Like one of those, I'm like, oh, maybe we did cross an even comedy store line.
Right.
And a rule book that's written in pencil. We might have crossed that one.
Yeah.
We might have to cross into the pen area and gone, oh, shit. And he goes, this is bad. Like, this is not, you can't just move past this.
Right.
I can't just tell you, can't do that again.
Yeah.
So the punishments had to come down and they talked about it. And it was Madonia got banned for 2 weeks. He was not a paid regular at the time, and I was. I think he was a non-paid. Or maybe not nothing.
Right. He was an employee.
A paid regular.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean anyone's like higher status in reality. I've just been there longer. Whatever.
Yeah.
He got banned for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't do his shifts. Couldn't do his spots for two weeks. I got no ban, but a stern warning.
Yep.
And then people, I remember going like, well, wait. The act is the act. So what? Because Ari's a paid regular. Somehow what he did wasn't as bad as Dan. Why was Dan punished and Ari wasn't?
Right.
And the reason that Dan was punished and I wasn't was because I won the big dick contest.
Yay! And there was no punishment for Tripoli or Don, who were actually responsible for everything.
The whole thing is set it all in motion.
Not even a stern warning because you couldn't do anything. I mean, literally, they controlled late night at the time. It's really even before Brody, you know, came in as one of the real late night guys.
Yeah.
It was just Don and Tripoli. So, like, they could do nothing. They weren't just going to have unfunny ends of shows for a couple weeks.
That was one of those things, too. It was like, it's over.
Yeah.
There's nobody on afterwards.
Right.
That was the closer.
Yep.
God damn, that was fun.
Oh, my God.
And so when all these people talk about what Eleanor and Rick called the credit store, like the era of Spade, Ron White, Rogan, Silverman, all these lineups, crazy good lineups.
Right.
And he's like, that's the best era. I'm disagreeing.
Right.
I think we built
a pathway for all that to happen.
Yeah.
There's no question about
it.
It became
a
cool place to be. It became a fun place to be. Even when I got there in 2007, it was sad and sappy. There was a bunch of angry 40, 50-year-old door guys that sort of sucked. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you know.
Yeah,
and, you know, a lot of those people don't even do stand-up anymore. So,
I want to make a list of all the people that they told, hey, watch out for this person in the alt scene. Like, they're going to be great. Who booked all the premium blends. Who are now not even in comedy.
Right.
And now I'm not talking about who went on to be good writers or something like that. Yeah. I mean, like, just not part of the industry in
real
any way.
Real estate agents.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I had to be like, oh, I guess so.
Yeah.
I'm working hard.
Yep.
That's why Ed Brook was the best. He came into this, like, what I call, like, a gold rush.
Mm-hmm.
He just came to hang at this comedy store, and everybody was like, no, you don't go to the comedy store. He's an agent. And everybody was like, don't go to the comedy store. It's worthless. And then he went in there, and he was like, I had a great time.
Yeah.
I've been to the improv a bunch like you guys, and this is way cooler.
Right.
And then they're like, don't go there. And he just goes, I think you're wrong.
Yep.
And it's like when people tell him, don't invest in Bitcoin, he goes, I'm going to get a little. and he just signed Diaz, Brett, Dove, me, Renazizi. I'm trying to think who else.
I was with him for a while.
Yeah, and just like mind it off clean of all the fucking underdeveloped. Brendan Zizi was after year two of the league and had no agent sending him on the road.
Oh my God.
And you're like, we were losers. Bobby was the only one.
Right.
Bobby Lee was the only one doing anything.
Right.
And we were fine with it. Because what a blast.
Wow. It's funny to think how those execs at the time overlooked all that.
Uh-huh.
Because that was happening. And they came in so late to the party.
Uh-huh.
They came in. They came in to buy up Roast Battle after it was. It never got cooler.
Yeah.
They immediately ruined it.
Immediately ruined it.
Took out.
Said, let's change some stuff.
Yep. 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 Let's change the set. Let's change
the. Even the way they shot it, I was
we're
like
gonna,
one of the Montreal.
We're going to make it big. We're going to make it for TV.
One of the Montreal teams, they're like, okay, we're going to go. What would be a commercial break? Which means you can go stop, come right back. Mm-hmm. You know. Because you'll just put the commercial in. Or you can stop for 40 minutes. It's up to you. Mm-hmm. We're putting in 3 minutes of commercials.
Mm-hmm.
Check, that's not their fault. You know, it's outdated now, but that's not their fault. But I'm like, during that time, they just kind of like sat still and nobody said a word. And I'm like, send the wave up there. We're still an audience.
Yep.
Keep us into it.
Yep.
God, they were fucking dumb.
So stupid.
They would tell me like, I don't have to edit. This is not happening. They're like, just show someone how to do it and it's fine. I'm like, are you crazy? Like, that's the reason it's good. I'm a comedian saying what can go and what can stay.
Right.
And they're like, you don't have to be there. I'm like, oh my God.
Yep. So dumb. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean, what an interesting thing. It's like if they steered into the iceberg, you know? It's like.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, you had all that space. You could
and
just
we
do
thought
anything.
They knew, too. When we were coming up, like, they must know they're
I
professionals.
Know.
They must have.
Comedy Central. It's the only channel. That was it. It was them against sort of HBO, but not really.
It was Comedy Central first.
That was it.
For comedy.
Yep. And they blew it. And now look at it, man. You ever see it? Office reruns, Friends, Jimmy Kimmel.
It's over. It's already over.
I mean,
over.
What the fuck?
I'm not even happy about it. It still bothers me because I'm like, it was a good platform for comedians.
Absolutely.
Just
because they
wronged
me
doesn't mean like other people are like, get some.
It should be great. They should be running exactly what worked for them forever. Fucking comedians doing 8 minute sets.
You know
Ron White got huge off of, it was 8 minutes. That thing that we think is like a half hour special never was.
Wow.
And he had it. He had time. So he got to go do the road and fucking decimate.
They were always like, this is what they didn't understand too. They're like, so-and-so has a good story about used to be homeless. And I was like, oh, I'll try to get her to do it. And they're like, yeah, just book her for tomorrow. I'm like, oh no, dude, it takes some, it's not just that she has the details.
Right.
Like you look at the machine, like he had to learn how to say all the right timing.
Oh,
and like,
yeah.
It's not just like, well, here's the story.
Right.
I mean, his teacher was not going to tell that story the same way Bert Kreischer would.
Right.
Over time developing it. Whatever.
Yeah. It's just wild to think how low they
you know what they went wrong and same way HBO's gone wrong went wrong before them and I see Netflix doing it too now.
Mm-hmm.
They're going deep into celebrity. People say it's the woke thing. It's not that. It's they're like, oh, they're big, book them, instead of we'll show you who should be big. When Tom Segura launched off Netflix, nobody knew who the fuck he was.
Yeah.
When Ali Wong launched off Netflix, nobody fucking knew who she was.
Yep.
You put on quality people and people start tuning in Netflix for whatever, and now it's like, well, here's a celebrity, and you're like, well, that okay, that was no good, but I'll watch the next one. Another celebrity. They don't work hard.
You could not be more right. Out of everything that we've talked about on this fucking podcast, you are most right about this thing. I saw it. I watched the evolution of it. I was a big part of it. I wrote, you know, whatever, the last 10 Comedy Central roasts. The writers of the roast before I wrote on it were Whitney Cummings. They were Anthony Jeselnik. And then when I got in, they were on it. No one knew who Jeselnik was. No one knew who Schumer was. No one knew who Natasha was. Nobody knew. And then they stopped doing that writing for it, which my whole plan obviously was, I'm going to write all the best jokes so that they know. I'm going to make sure that they all know.
You should have me next year.
I'm the guy, so let's go.
And that's who they used to have, Giraldo. He was a known comic, but only to the comedy world.
Right.
And you'd crush on those.
And my point is, I got to literally watch them with a little bit of bitter bones behind it because I'm like, you fucking idiots, I'm right here. Yep. I'm right here, and I have an hour, And I'm in the middle of the lineups at the store. I'm like in shape.
Yeah.
I'm your boy. Let's fucking go. And
they wouldn't do it.
Literally, they're like,
Eli Sayers wouldn't even give him a writing job on there because they're like, you're really a nobody. Like, I won the Intercontinental
right.
roast battle shit. Like, you won't let me write for you guys? Are you nuts?
But they literally would just schmooze these fucking people.
Celebrities.
Right.
God and, damn it.
Oh, we got David Spade. Oh, we got.
Is he going to try?
Right. No.
Nothing more. I'll tell
what
you
he's
going
to do is he's going to read right off the teleprompter right. things that me and other talented Sarah Tiana was ready to go. Yeah. You know what I mean? A Southern
I
fucking
get
belle.
A big comic if they're going to try hard.
Real comedian.
Yeah, Tiana
with a real
it.
Southern delivery. A real female. Meanwhile, they had to construct Amy Schumer like she was in a laboratory.
And they put on celebrities that weren't even real celebrities, like the chick from Grey's Anatomy.
Right.
And you're like, dude, no one's tuning in for this. So you have no talent level, and you're not getting. If you got Barack Obama, like okay, that's people tune in for this.
And you know
you're
what?
You're getting a barely not nobody.
And I ended up seeing from beginning to end. They would go. It would start as, hey, what do you guys think about the girl from Grey's Anatomy? Right? Blah 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 blah. Cut to the after party.
Yeah.
And then you see these execs going up. Hey, I just want to let you know I really love you on Grey's Anatomy. I really. It all was for their
yeah.
own fucking schmooze and moment and them. It was yeah. them. It was them all along. They were responsible for everything, and it was all about fame from the booking all the way down. And then by the end, mm-hmm. by the end of the fucking roast, the Alec Baldwin roast, for example,
yeah.
which I do believe, ironically, is the last roast to happen. 3 years ago, oh, we did man. That. Yeah. And which is a real shame because it'd be better now today.
It's a fun one.
Same one for Charlie Sheen. We found out he had AIDS after that. Can you fucking imagine?
Yeah. But anyway, had AIDS for sure.
They made a deal with Alec Baldwin. And like, it's so crazy because me and Mike Lawrence, literally right before the
he
Baldwin.
Was a killer roaster.
Yep. Right before the Baldwin roast, they wanted us to do season 3 of Roast Battle so bad. They're like, we want Hinchcliffe versus Lawrence, the likable autistic boy with glasses and a beard and a chubby head, or super likable guy against the fucking super villain with his hands behind his back, just fucking overconfident. They wanted to watch me get blown off the fucking stage by this guy. And we literally go. I'm like, Mike, don't say yes. Let's play it right. Let's do winner gets on the next roast. Winner gets on the next roast. It's going to be stakes to it. They're going to love this idea. It's going to benefit them. It's going to make this yeah. roast battle mean something. It all meant nothing.
And do you ever see the backstory on UFCs when they like 2-3 UFCs out? Like, hey, here's a guy grew up in Mexico and he's trained when he was little. And then you start like rooting for him. Like, I don't know who this guy is. And by the way, he's a number 8 contender, you know? But then by the time you see it in a month from now, you're like, oh, that's the guy. Yeah. I'm rooting for him.
And now you know there's
so now
a fucking
when the roast
story.
Happened, you're like, this is the guy from before. We rooting for him.
This is the fucking, I mean, it's common
sense. Common sense.
We wrote it out for them.
God
and meanwhile,
damn.
They go, nah.
We can't promise you that.
Right. Like, we can't
well,
do
why?
It.
Why not just do it?
And you want to know why they couldn't do it?
Why?
Because they started towards the end. They started promising whoever they booked for the roast that they get to book the roast. They gave them the fucking power. So Alec Baldwin got to decide who
right.
was on
so
his
like,
roast.
He's my buddy from when I was little, and like,
yeah, this is Dom Irrera. This is my favorite comedian. We're good friends. This is who I love. I'm glad Dom got it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But it's
you want
not,
a roast guy?
Like you know, we
this
were
is
saying
I discover stories.
They used to get to decide mm-hmm. who was a star. Mm-hmm. That was the excitement of being an executive. Instead of hanging out with the lady from Grey's Anatomy that they're actually a fan of that night, they got to fucking build something mm-hmm. and then run into me on the street now and go, "We fucking did it."
Yeah. Ryan's
you did
still
that
like that.
For me. I made you look good. You made me look good.
And Ryan was still like that. He was like, "I just like making good stuff." But the yeah. rest of them, he was like climbing uphill.
Yeah.
They yeah. didn't do that with stories also. They're like, what about Hannibal? Love Hannibal. Mm-hmm. But like, I was like, oh, he's because he was the cool like celebrity that mm-hmm. you get. I'm like, he doesn't like these stories. He doesn't do like just because he's a great comic doesn't mean you can
right.
do this.
Right.
You know, and just because you're a great comic doesn't mean you can do roast. They're different right. forms. And so I was like, oh, he doesn't like doing it. And he wasn't good at it. Like he did it once in Montreal and it just didn't go anywhere.
Right.
And he made one good joke of like, do they have any seminars during the day about how to do good stories? Like. And I'm like, he doesn't like it, and he's not good at it. And they're like, but maybe he could just do it. I'm like, you got to shut up.
Right. Yeah.
I just told you why it wouldn't work.
Yeah. They get set in their ways. It doesn't work in any other field. You can't do that with sports. You can't be like, ah, he's a quarterback. Yeah, but make him the wide receiver for this one. I want him to be the wide receiver. No coach, because it's common fucking sense.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want a guy who's not good at stories to do a story.
Right.
Why would you do that? Why would you put a guy that throws a football in the catching position?
Because we get to say we booked him. And that's what Netflix is doing now. We look at who we have on. And then you're like, and by the way, and they're also winning like Grammys and fucking Emmys for best specials. And you're like, oh, well, they're terrible.
Oh, yeah. The worst.
The worst.
Unacceptable.
Yeah. I mean, you do have some celebrities who still care, like a Burr and Louis and Chappelle. Yeah. It's like they're putting out their best.
Yeah.
But it's not like they're all, but it's like, the casual watcher is like doesn't care what if they were on Grey's Anatomy.
They're putting out fucking dog shit, dog man. Shit. I don't know what's going on.
Dog shit.
Mm.
Some good ones, but a lot of dog shit.
Dog shit, dude. Fucking hot diggity. It's wild to see because I'll see fucking. I don't ever watch specials ever because it just obviously infuriates me.
Yeah.
But I will graze over things. I don't want to name any names or anything, but like I will watch a new, say, HBO special that came out just to see because I'm like, wow, this
you
is
play
the
second, game. How long can I make
the
it?
The second one they gave this guy. He seems like a straight white male. I don't really know him. I'm from LA / Texas.
That's what infuriates
right?
people too. You've all everyone at home has heard like, oh, it's tough to be a straight white male. They're not looking for you now, whatever. And it's like that bothers the straight white males. It bothers when like, oh, I have a talented friend and he can't get seen.
That's what I'm saying.
For nothing to do with him.
Right.
For stuff that we've all moved past as a society, and now we're devolving back into like, well, let me see, what does your penis go into? Another vagina or an ass?
Yep.
And I'm like, well, that was have to do with my joke about traffic.
Right.
But they like devolving. But anyway.
Weirdest shit ever.
Yeah, but then
does your penis go into a butt of a man or a vagina of a woman? Or sorry, we can't work with you.
Yeah. And so do you scissor or fuck?
Right.
Like, what? So who is your father? Like, what? But like, so when they have like the new faces or something like that, and it's 20 people, and they're like six trans people and one straight white male.
Yep.
It's not so much that it's that bothers us. It's that we go like, that's the one you picked.
Right.
That's the straight white male, the suckiest of all of us.
Yep.
I could have given you 1,000 names better.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Oh.
So like, I'll see something like that and I'll graze over it just, and sure enough, I'm like, ooh, go, fuck, that's horrible. And I watch 3 minutes of it. And then the next day I'll work with, you know, a Kill Tony regular, a fucking, you
it's
know,
like you're better than that.
So much better. Like a Hans Kim out there just fucking with a brand new joke. And I'm like, that brand new joke. And I'll talk to him afterwards and I'll go, that's a new joke. Oh yeah, I just wrote it on the way here today. And literally it's better than, how is it possible that a joke that he wrote in his car on the way to the venue is better than any of the jokes that I saw?
That a TV comedian prepared.
Yeah. What are we talking about? That's the time we live in. It is unfucking believable.
Yeah.
If you and think then, about yeah, it too hard, you go YouTube. Crazy. And again, that's why I'm loving Texas, man, because I'm not fucking dwelling on this
right,
shit.
Right, right.
When you're in LA, you're surrounded by these billboards and your friends. And
so should I be doing that?
People. Oh, there's my old agent. Oh, there's a manager. It's all the showbiz shit. And instead, now I'm golfing, literally just thinking about the jokes.
I've had to do this where my friends on Instagram, I'll just mute them. Because I like them a lot.
Yeah.
But Instagram has become like a place to brag.
Oh, yeah.
And I've made choices in my life to like minimize my fame on purpose.
Yeah.
You know, to be like, I got a good life. I don't want that. Right. I don't want to be online all the time filming myself.
Right.
It's not the life I want.
Same.
And the result of that means I play smaller rooms than some other people. Doesn't mean I'm not happy for them doing it. Right. When I see it constantly, I look at this massive thing. I'm like, hey, dude, you're making me upset.
Right.
Instead of like, I know what I did.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm giving up that. I don't want to see it in my face all the time. So keep celebrating mute.
Yeah.
You know?
I know exactly who you're talking about. I don't need to walk out on stage and shoot a t-shirt cannon at the audience. I don't need confetti.
Yeah.
No, it's fun. There's levels to this, but man, am I with you. Like, I am so just fucking content the bragging shit on Instagram is so, it's always been weird to me. There's a part of me that thinks that I would have done better in like the 80s or the 90s, you know?
It's a weird,
it's like, I thing. Just don't like it. And other people are like, well, dude, you better learn to love it because that's the business. I'm like, watch
and,
me.
And you're like, I don't like your life.
Yeah.
And so the one thing too, I see this, like I've always been bothered by it was, and it started with like, I like to say the evolution of this like public grieving for other people's sake instead of your own.
Mm-hmm.
It started with
the
posts on Facebook. It's like, I have the best wife. We're 10-year anniversary. She's lovely. And I'm like, this is, you send this to her. Why are you involving us in this? Or then like, my dad's been gone 10 years. I miss you, dad. Like, why is this a post?
Yep. Rest in peace, Betty White. One of the legends. Like, is she seeing that?
Yeah, I know you're out there. Like, what do you mean you're out there? Not even like she was a great, like you, like you're speaking directly to this lady you've never met. And it's like, blech.
Right.
It's so gross.
Yeah.
That's why I want to hold a mirror up to them all the time. And it's like, you guys fucking suck. And that's what it is on stage too. We're like, yeah, filming your whole life.
Right.
And pretending it's this thing. It's like, you're like a travel influencer. Yep. And you're like, that's not real. You're not this happy all the time.
Yep.
I knew a lady who was going to get married to this travel blogger. She's a big traveler too, my friend Evelina. And I was like, what happened? You broke up? Why? She goes, I thought he was happy all the time. She goes, he kind of sucked. I'm like, she goes, if his real life was as happy as his online life, we would have stayed together.
Right.
He'd be posing in front of a canyon smiling. And as soon as the picture was taken, he'd just go back to frowning and be like, fucking Mr. Bus.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, well, where's that? You're faking it. You're being phonies.
Yep.
Oh, I'm a huge so-and-so for, who was it? What's his name again that died? Okay, cool. I'll get in on that.
Unbelievable, the virtue signaling. I just don't,
I'm so torn up over it, everyone in the world.
Yeah. Oh, I feel so bad about this. I'm a good person.
I'm a good person because I care. I feel bad.
Look at the words that I wrote. I care.
And they nauseate the rest of us.
Yep.
And they want us to live in this one world where we're all exactly the same. But it doesn't, the people who think that's fine and the people who think that they're nauseated by it, they're like, you're disgusting.
Right.
We're just never going to see eye to eye.
Yeah.
So we're like, blech.
Yeah.
And comedians, what we'll do is we'll make fun of you if you're another comedian, do it behind your back. And then when we see you, we can be like, how you doing?
Yeah.
I got it out of my system.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how we handle things.
And then a few just go public with their gripes. It's like, keep it to yourself. Just talk shit.
God, I know. I don't even do it anymore, man. I don't do jokes on Twitter. I don't do anything. I've been off Facebook for years. It all sucks.
It sucks.
I mean,
it's too bad. It used to be fucking cool.
It could have been cool. Yeah, it really could have been. Shit got weird.
I remember a time when I used Twitter really well. It was a Sunset Strip music festival. Remember that?
Yeah.
And they shut down Sunset Strip. And it was near my old place. We could walk there in 10 minutes. So, you know, we got tickets for whatever. One time we volunteered for a little bit. Through the comedy store, got a booth.
Yeah.
Anyway, then we're all wandering around, and I'm in the Cat Club, and I see this band called Nico Vega, and they were like killing right out of the gate, and we hadn't heard of them. And I just tweeted because I knew Yusuf was there. I knew a few other people were around the Sunset Strip, and I was like, I'm in the Cat Club watching this great band, Nico Vega. And then, you know, that's when you had like 20 friends on there, and then they were all like, oh, Ari's in the club, let's go. And they all showed up. It's like, sweet, that's my way to get out to them.
Yeah.
And that's when it was like still a great,
right,
fun place.
Right. Now if you did that, someone else would send an article like, yeah, but did you know at Nico Vega these accusations against him?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck, dude? I'm listening to music here.
Oh, dude, they were so hardcore badass. This female singer would come out barefoot and just fucking rage.
I feel like I know that name.
I'll play you a song. I'll go out with a song by Nico Vega. But it was like they were just badass.
She from Austin?
Nico Vega was the name of the band. She had a name of a band name, but you can't. I'll look her up. You don't have your phone.
Oh, yeah, I don't have my
phone.
I'm
using it to record. Nico Vega. I had a shirt. I left it in fucking Ecuador.
Ecuador?
Yeah. Oh. I had a great shirt I bought there. Nico Vega was an American indie rock band formed in 2005. Right around then. They were brand new. Damn. In L.A., California.
Oh, wow.
Lead vocalist Aha Volkman. Yeah.
Yep.
Damn. I'll play you a song. All right.
Yep.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah, this was so much fun.
When's the last time you were on the podcast?
I don't know.
Can't be the great cleanup. It'll be a Shroomfest one.
No, it's been a while, but I did. I did do the Time Vault one with you.
It's not out yet. Won't be out for years.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
That'll be an interesting one.
You got the exclusive first interview about the cancellation and what it's like.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this is fun. Yeah. You're my big brother, and in the wild world, the wild, weird world of how I like to live, you're a really big deal to me, and I appreciate you, and you're a misunderstood hero amongst, again, people that like this type of weird life.
Joe List was doing these like icebreakers that he found a list of, like questions to ask each other on speed date or whatever, just like. Interesting questions of like, oh, let's go, let me think, what would I rather be, you know? And one of them was like, what do you wish people knew about you more? Not that they don't know at all, but you wish they knew it more. Mine is, I'm actually a nice person.
Yeah. I think that's mine too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think because we have an outlet for our heelism, it makes us better people. I watched you give a homeless guy a bunch of meat earlier.
Those comics would have filmed that.
Right, right. Had some extra meat, figured I'd do this. Hey, can you say thank you for the camera?
Do it again, please.
Oh, we didn't get that. The light wasn't right. Jesus Christ, these fucking animals out here. Unbelievable.
Yeah, there's that song, Shane pointed it out, and I'm like, oh, damn, it carries on a lot. I think it's Frankie Valli. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Right.
And that's all it is. Like, oh, please don't get it wrong.
Right.
And when you see Chappelle and all that shit, it's like, please don't let me be misunderstood. Bum, bum, you're misunderstanding me. Yeah.
Baby.
Yeah.
I feel so confused.
Yeah, what are the lyrics? You ever go back and listen to lyrics of that and be like, oh, they were deep.
Yeah.
Please don't let...
The best version of that is from a band called Los Esmeralda, something like that. It was a cover for Kill Bill.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Baby, do you understand me now? Sometimes right. I feel a little mad. Well, you don't know that no one alive can always be an angel.
Right.
When things go wrong, I seem to be bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. Wow. If I seem edgy... I want you to know that I never mean to take it out on you. Life has its problems and I got my share, and that's one thing I never mean to do because I love you. Baby, don't you know I'm a human? I've got thoughts like any other man. Sometimes I find myself alone and regretting some foolish thing, some little simple thing I've done.
It's incredible.
But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh,
it
Lord.
It seems like a poem that you wrote after like the Kobe stuff.
Yeah, I did it in 3 minutes. Everyone's like, well, Ari's Kobe stuff. I'm like, guys, you're putting way more emphasis on this than I was.
Right.
It's the 30th in a series of 40.
Yeah.
I thought about it for 7 minutes tops.
Yeah.
I was like, quick, get it
100%.
Up.
100%. It's incredible.
Maybe sometimes it's hard to... Sometimes I'm so carefree with a joy that's hard to hide. And sometimes it seems that all I have to do is worry. And then you're bound to see my other side.
We're not even going to shoot guns today.
Yeah.
I have to get you to the airport.
Oh, shit. It's 5.
Yep.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Yep. I'm going to go pee.
Go watch Kill Tony on YouTube right now. I'll put a pop-up link to it if you're watching on YouTube. If you're listening, seek out Kill Tony on Spotify or just YouTube.
Come visit us. Come see a live show in Austin, Texas.
If you dare, motherfucker.
Come out.
The greatest game of all. Humans.
Thing that I have done, 'cause I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood. I try so hard.
Is that too much to ask? To just not be misunderstood. It is. It is in today's day and age. There's no nuance. So anyway, you guys, that's the episode. Thank you very much. Tony Hinchcliffe, you're about to get that Skeptic Tank bump. And Joe Rogan, who has a podcast of his own. I forgot to say in the intro. I'm so sorry. You'll get half a bump, but you will still get a Skeptic Tank bump. The Joe Rogan Experience podcast. It's on YouTube. Check it out now. Check out the last week's episode. I think you'll see downloads on YouTube of in the hundreds of thousands. That's why you're friends with Ari Shaffir, because you're about to get that Ari Shaffir bump, Rogan. Check him out on Spotify. I bet you'll see the rankings right now. Vaulted to the top because of that Ari Shaffir bump. So that's the episode. Don't forget, tickets, arishaffir.com for New York City, February 8th at the Gramercy, where I might do my next special if the shows go well. Salt Lake City, March 6th, third show added. The other two sold out long ago. Me, Norman, O'Neill, and Ren Azizi. You're going to be happy with that Gramercy show. It's a storytelling show. It's Ari Shaffir's renamed storytelling show. It's the first one we've done in years, and it's going to be fun. Grand Rapids and Detroit with me, Bobby Kelly, and Big J. Operson. Operson, that's right. Whoever is named Big J. Operson is about to get that Ari Shaffir bump. March 25th, 26th, get tickets at arishaffir.com. And then Phoenix in January, Tampa and Denver in February, and Vancouver, February 27th, at the JFL Festival. So, shall we start? I say we do. Oh, we're done, I mean. Yeah, thanks, dude. The shows of the Vulcan were fun. Actually, I tanked a fucking dick off on that second show. I mean, I ate a dick on that second show, on that Tuesday night show. Monday was okay. Tuesday was fucking suck ass. God damn, I fucking, just no connection at all with the crowd. None. Just went through my material and just like ate like a 4.5. Just right to the gut. Could feel it not going well. Kickstarted him for a little bit. And then I went like longer to try to get him back. Awful. Just awful. Anyway, I think that's it. Don't forget to sign up for my Patreon, patreon.com/Ari Shaffir. Adrian Appalucci is on this week and she'll be on lots of weeks. Shooting this shit. So we do those four different podcasts. I think Arrested Development, Dear Ari, General Mailbag, and I've still got to name the travel episodes. And then Shooting the Shit is just when we don't get to a topic. That was episode one. All right. That's it, right? Guys, I'm about to get to 100,000 subscribers, and I'm pissed about it because I got to give $100 and $100. Fucking fuck. $200 per week to these fucking bitches. God damn it. I mean, they're good employees, Marissa and Kyla, but I made a mistake saying I'd give them a raise when I get to 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. And here we are at like 98,000, so it's probably going to happen this week. So I'm telling you guys, there's a subscribe button, where would it be? Like right here underneath the screen, like right around there, I think. Please, do not hit that. That's going to cost me a lot of money. I mean, thousands of dollars, 52 weeks times 100. Is that 5,000? Damn it. $10,000 a year? I think I fucked up. Yeah, do not hit subscribe. Please do me a favor. Do not hit subscribe. If you're on Spotify listening, hit subscribe. That won't cost me anything. If you're on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or Stitcher or Laughable, go ahead and hit subscribe. But if you're on YouTube, actually move it off this. Just get it out of that range and just don't hit subscribe. Why bother? All right, you guys. Until next week, I'm Ari Shaffir. This has been Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 455, the most Texas podcast of all time. For Tony Hinchcliffe, Skeptic Tank Bump, and Joe Rogan, Skeptic Tank Bump, I'm Ari Shaffir. Saying so long. I'll see you on the road.
Eyes so bright and kind. I guess I knew one day you'd die.